Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. I was late because I had a meeting doing stuff for you guys. Authors, musicians, writers, producers, directors, musicians. I'm a busy man trying to bring the best programming to you and original programming to you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. We are global. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network 96.7 BT Radio. It's me. Hi, everybody. It's Friday. We're going to jump all over the place. All over the place. Because it's Friday. And we're loosey-goosey on Friday. But we got some good stories to tell. And if you'd like to come in the studio and you want to tell a story, more than welcome. We encourage it. And if your story is bad, we'll kick you the hell out of the studio. That's right. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in. That's the number that people can hear your voice worldwide and globally. Globally is a word. Look it up. Globally. I want to give a shout-out to Miss Melissa out there, the morning crew, and Laverne, who jumped ship, and she's listening to others. Mm-hmm. I expect loyalty from Laverne, but no. She decides to jump on another ship. Others. It's okay. We still love her. We still love that Laverne-Verne. Let's get right to it. You know, what's happening, people are fleeing from California. They're leaving. Bye-bye. Bye, bye, bye. What's that song? Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Because what's happening is that they're tired of their businesses being broken into. Jewelry stores. This lady, this African-American lady, has 5 stores selling wigs. And you know black women need to have their hair. Don't mess with, if you want a war, you don't mess with black women's hair. You don't pull it. You don't touch it. You don't even stare at it for a long period of time. Black women will go off on you. This is how much they love their hair. So this lady had a hair salon. It was 5 shops. She'd been broken in 6-7 times. She says she had it. She had it. She shut down 5 of her shops. She's getting the hell out of Dodge. California is very lawless. It is. We got lawless cops. We got lawless people. We are just lawless. Welcome to California. I hope you have a gun because you're going to need it. Lawless. Lawless. People are leaving California. They're fleeing California. Thanks to Gaston. Now, you guys probably never heard of Gaston. You will get to meet this motherfucker because he's letting people out of jail. The jails are too crowded. We cannot have this. We got to give them early release. Early release. That sounds like a Japanese massage thing I went to once when I was younger, like 25. They gave me an early release. I didn't get the full massage. They just gave me a happy ending. You go now. You go. Okay. They didn't even give me a tissue. Early release. So some of you don't even know what's going on. I'm going to play it for you. This guy's the most boringest guy on the air, but he's going to explain to you what does AB-109 means. And I think it's just a California thing, but I think if you live in a lot of states that you're going to have problems with crime too. I'm thinking Louisiana is beautiful, but at one time in Louisiana, the cops were on a take, and they were only making like $1,500 a month. I mean, how could you support your family? I would too. You know, do a little takey-takey. Maman, Sheila, Maman, or whatever. I went there, beautiful town, beautiful city, beautiful state, Louisiana. People are so welcome. I used to think Louisiana was backwards, and people even talk backwards, walk backwards, but it's not true. They are warm, loving people, southern people, with their racist statues. But they're warm and loving. All right, here's the guy explaining what AB-109 is about. He's boring, I know, but is it very important for you to understand what's going on in California? So here he is. Let me see. He's Officer Jim Salio, so he's a cop. So he's going to explain to us.
Welcome back to Global Edition. I'm Brent Palmer, and thank you so much for joining us.
What a boring asshole.
Jim Salio. He is the chief probation officer for San Luis Obispo County, and your job is changing dramatically as a result of prison realignment. Let's talk about the changes that are coming for all counties, really.
Shut up. Shut up. Get to the meat and potatoes. Shut up. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. That's what everybody's here. Nobody's a vegetarian. We want meat and potatoes. Get to the point. Shut up. Continue to listen to this nice gentleman.
Start with this concept of post-release community supervision. With the way I would say it, it's parole small p for the people who...
Parole small p. That reminds me again about the Japanese massage. You would think that they would be admiring my junk and that it's like, you know, Godzilla or something because they invented Godzilla. But no, they're calling it a small p. I think it was a code word. Small p. Which stands for probation. Why? Shut up. Here we go.
Commit the three nons.
That's correct. So this population is being realigned in the state of California. In the past, this population would have been supervised by state parole. Now they're being, supervision is being realigned to the county level to be supervised by probation.
So these are folks that committed non-sexual, non-violent, non-serious offenses. They were in state prison, they've served their time, and now they're being released. And they're being released into a parole situation, but being supervised by the county, not the state.
That's correct. And they're being released with a three-year tail. That means that they would be under supervision for 3 years with the ability, with no violations that result in custody time, to be released by statute after 1 year.
And presumably most of these folks will start in county custody as a result of prison realignment, but there are people still getting out that were in state custody.
Right. Well, all the people that we'll be supervising on this post-release community supervision will have come from state custody. They'll all come from the state prisons.
But what if you were a three-non, you went to county custody, and then you get released?
Your time's over. You've served your time. If you're sentenced to straight time, like a three-year sentence, and you do your time at the county jail, once you're released, you're out of the system.
There's no parole for county custody?
No.
Has that always been the case?
Yes.
And it will continue to be the case?
Well, this is the case. Usually when somebody's sentenced to local custody time, they're sentenced in lieu of going to prison if they're sentenced on a felony. If it's a felony,
right,
the judge may give them 6 months in local custody, and then they'll be released on probation and then serve their time on probation. And this is in lieu of a prison sentence.
And now probation is a different matter.
That's correct. So this was probation. Now, the law does allow for the judge to do what's a new thing, which is called a split sentence.
Right.
Which the court can place them in local custody as a prison commitment, but then they would do part of their time. Say they were given 3 years, they would do a year in local custody, and then they would do 2 years on a mandatory probation, because right now in the state of California, probation, the old probation as we know it, is a voluntary thing. You don't have to.
It's complicated. But let's focus on what's happening in terms of really trying to bring these offenders back into civil society. This county specifically is doing everything they can to increase rehabilitation efforts.
That's right.
That's supposedly part of the goal of realignment. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, our main goal is obviously public safety, but also to accomplish public safety, we really believe that it's best if we can reduce recidivism.
And California has a very high recidivism rate.
Right. And so we know in the profession that there are certain interventions that work better, that are targeted at reducing recidivism and targeted at, in the profession, called criminogenic factors.
Right.
And these factors, when present, could lead to recidivism. And so we have interventions that we know work through.
All right, that was boring. Boring. Let me just tell you what's going on. I'm trying to Google this guy named Timothy, his last name. I can't remember his last name. He committed 37 felonies with an F. And I don't like to use the F word on other things, in other words, because it's a sacred word that I like to use in a personal, intimate setting. But in this case, the F stands for felonies. Thank you. And what I'm trying to say is that each time he committed these felonies, there were 37 felonies, each time he committed these felonies, each felony he got busted. He got busted. Finally, the judge sent him to 3 years in jail. The motherfucker served 10 days. 10 days with early release. He committed 37 felonies. That's right. Wrap your head around it. They're trying to tell you, they're giving you this PR bullshit that they're only releasing nonviolent, non-sexual offenders into society. Bullshit and bullshit. That is not true. They're releasing felons, sex offenders, and everybody else because of their jails are being crowded because of AB 109. Because I call...
Bullshit.
People are leaving California. I mean, it's not a day to go by that I'm looking at TV and there's a smash and grab somewhere. If you don't know what a smash and grab it is, it's a one-night stand. No. A smash and grab is basically they would go into a shop and then they would break jewelry things and they would run. And it's not just one guy. There's like a group of people. There's like a herd. I bet you $1 million they got a Facebook herd, jail scum, getting together, and they rush a business. They break everything. They get like 20, 30 of them. One even robbed the 7-Eleven. We have a 7-Eleven here. And got the cigarettes. And the clerks are so overwhelmed. What can you do? You know, it's Friday. I haven't done this in a long time. I am mad, and I won't take it anymore. Oh, we should play that. There's nobody in the studio. It's Friday. I'm going wild. I'm running with scissors. Leave me alone. I'm on a roll. The most pussy, as I tried to get that, I do want to play Network, because if you listen to Network, that movie was in the 80s. And a lot of Z people, when it's ZXers or whatever, and some millennials never heard of Network. But if you listen to that in the 80s and you listen to what the guy says, you would think it's now, 23. Things have not changed. We got worse. So as I'm trying to find Network, because I want you to really hear the words, really listen to the words, I see Meatloaf's song, I'll Do Anything for Love. Now, that song, I told you we're going to be jumping. I like that song. The video was horrible. I don't know what they were trying to do. I guess it's like the Phantom of the Opera thing. But he looks gross and whatever. But he's saying he will do anything for love. But I won't do that. It's just like your marriage. Yeah, You would do anything for love. See, you were in love, but now you're married, and it's like, no, I won't do that. Honey, nope, not me, not the kid. Uh-uh. My lips are sacred. It's for tasting, not for down there. But it's the most pussyfied song ever written in the world. But I won't do that. You are a pussy. Shut up. All right, let's get back to network. I told you we're going to be jumping all over the place, and we're going to, because I can, because I'm running with scissors, because nobody's in the studio, and nobody's there to calm me down. That's right. Let me see. Because I really want you to hear the net. I want you to hear this guy. This movie, I guarantee you, I think it was in the 80s. I really think, if somebody else can tell me different, I think it was in the 80s. But listen to what he's saying. And I'm mad as hell. In California, they're releasing prisoners. They're giving them early release. Like I said, don't get it confused with my Japanese massage. That was a nice thing. It was a happy ending. I hate when you go to a massage parlor and you don't have a happy ending. It could be like a horror film, like you just scream and go, ah! But it's usually generally happy. I'm telling you, if you're going to go to a massage parlor, you got to go to Japan. I'm not being racist. See, the Swedish massage will charge you extra for a happy ending. The Japanese people, it goes with the massage. And they got magic hands, and some of these hands are little vibrating hands. It's just magical. I remember I was an athlete, and I don't know if I slipped a disc in my back. I guess we're going to be jumping. Stay with me. I slipped a disc in my back. And it kind of hurt, so I decided to go to a Japanese massage. It says Japanese massage. I said, let's go. And I get there. They go, you lay on table. I go, I lay on table. She goes, okay, I walk on you. I go, you're not walking on me. No, I walk on you. You shut up. She didn't tell me to shut up. She goes, you be quiet. I go, that's kind of rude. And then I have to lay on my stomach, and then she climbs up on my back, and I'm expecting the severe pain, just pain. It felt pleasantly good. I never felt that before. So if you ever see a Japanese woman walking down the street, say hello, and, you know, their little toes are magic. There's magic from those toes. And those little toes are walking all over your back, and then they knee you, and oh, my God. And then they flip you over, and they go, and then they grab you by your junk and go, hello, and they introduce themselves because they're very polite people. Very polite. And you're sitting there going, uh-oh, and then boom. And then you go into Urkel like, did I do that? If it's Wong, I don't want to be right. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get back to network. I am the Beast. And welcome, Beauty. Welcome, Beauty.
I was just fighting zombies. Now, I gave that up to come here. I was, sincerely.
Oh, were you really? Cindy's doing the same thing. Thank you for giving up.
She's my zombie sister.
Uh-huh. She is. She laughed. She smiled when she said that. You know, it's a small, small world. Melissa's been the morning crew. And her, with Laverne with us when Howard Stern punked us, Melissa. I don't know.
I don't know.
But Melissa was like the star there, and she would not let – it was the funniest fucking thing. And the jokes that she was making, and the guy got, oh, well, I'll tell the jokes here. She was just on top of it.
It was super
funny.
Dry, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It's Friday. Maybe I know you don't want to hear it played, but you're on Howard's.
Don't play that crap again.
When I came into Facebook, everybody was saying, I got six people saying, weren't you on Howard Stern's show? And they go, wasn't Melissa there too? Because they, you know, they punked us, basically.
I didn't even know.
I know.
Yeah.
You were pretty
good. It was
damn
good, though.
I know.
You know, not many people catch me off my toes.
No, you're right on. You're spot on. Hello, Rudy Booty.
Uh-huh.
You were spot on.
That was funny. Rudy Booty.
504, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and Melissa. Is this Rudy? If he doesn't answer, it might be Rudy. He's
no.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait a minute.
There's
a mystery guest. Wait a minute. Let's get, we get the three mystery guests. Okay, are you 5'2"?
5'3", thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry. Every inch counts in your world, lady.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sure.
Do you eat beignets?
Ooh.
Yes, I do.
I know beignets.
Do you go dodo?
Dodo.
Yes, I do.
Wait. Okay, I got one. Have you been to a place where they have a lot of sugar on their donuts? I don't know if it's a donut. What is it, Monet?
I just said it.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
He just crashed it.
Have you slept with, have you went backstage with a band and slept with the whole band?
No.
Okay.
He's been this way lately. Oops.
Are you working in the weekend?
I'm working every day.
And ladies and gentlemen, my former, and she's been with me for 10 years and everything. It's a surprise. Ellen Johnson.
It's been
Johnson,
12
everybody.
Years, 13 years.
Has it really? Has it
Hello.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Ellen Johnson, everybody. Oh, my God. Author. Wait, let's give her due. Author, promoter, marketeer. She's one of the marketeers. She's a promoter and an event planner.
Not to be confused with a mouseketeer.
That's true. That's true. That was always disturbing. I mean, we're old enough to know. If you ever look at the classic Mouseketeer song, and then they do the sound off, or they do the thing, it goes, "Hi, Annette. Hi, I'm Billy." And then you get this voice, "I'm Roy." It's like, something's wrong with Roy. What's he doing there? I mean, Roy. Did you, like, shit? Get him away from the kids.
I'm not back yet. I've still got a few minutes.
I know. She has to get back to work. Hey, it's great to hear your voice. Ellen,
talking to you, Brian. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Kenneth.
You're talking to who?
I'm not talking to my boo-boo. Woman, be quiet.
You have a boo-boo? You have a boo there? Only you could go
yes,
to Walmart and pick up a boo in a cart. You got a boo?
No. Her name is Kenise, and she was taken over for me while I went to lunch.
What are you eating?
I was eating Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes. Why? You writing a book? Leave that fucking chapter out.
Wow. See what happens when she goes to Walmart? That attitude. You get that Walmart attitude. Next. Get out of my line, bitch. Next. Don't ask me questions. If you don't know the answer, don't go to Walmart. My God, what's the answer?
Brian,
you got the only Walmart. Well, you got the only Walmart where the greeter has a middle finger. What's going on there?
Look, if he's trying to steal out of this store, I'll punch you down and like a dog.
I know you would. That Walmart in Louisiana don't play.
No, we don't.
Do you miss being on the air, Ellen? Do you miss being on the air? Seriously?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm off on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, why don't you come on in Monday and Tuesday?
I'll be
You're
quiet,
welcome.
Woman.
Oh, my gosh, she's starting a fight at Walmart. I'm going to have to read this and then what's going
I
on
know.
Here? I know. It's like, she gets, I know. Shut up, woman. Wow. So, Ellen, wait a minute. Tell me the truth. Is there anybody on there that you're eyeing that is cute that you have your,
no,
you know?
No.
Really?
No. No, there's not.
Ellen, you know he's not going to believe anything you say.
I don't believe she's wearing a bra because she wants more people to come down to her little check stand.
Really? I'm in garden center where, you know, I like being a garden center. I'm by myself. I don't have to deal with these unruly asinine customers.
Oh, my God. What kind of attitude is that? I know.
No. I love the garden center. You know? I do.
Wow.
Ellen, I'm sneaky. I always go there and check out, though.
Well,
what,
she's always got it.
Yeah,
wow.
you'd be the one, Melissa, to come in here. No, you'd be the one to come in here and say, okay, where's Ellen? Where's she working?
Yeah.
and you know what? And they would tell you, too, especially Kanish. He would tell you where I was.
Wow.
He would.
Well, because I would go in the garden section, and I would say, I'd like to go see your bush.
Oh, my God.
Is that inappropriate?
This is how it's been lately.
Yes, that is.
It's everywhere.
But,
why don't you tell Ellen a few of your Facebook jokes that you've been telling lately?
Oh God. You know what? But I can't because I have to go.
Aww.
Okay. All right.
It was good to hear you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Ellie. Yes, Ellie.
Yes. What? What did you say? Brian.
I don't know who's... Yes.
No. What did
I said,
you
on
say?
Your day,
I didn't hear you.
I said, on your day off, why don't you make your appearance? Come on in the studio.
Yeah.
Come on in the studio on your day off. Have some fun.
Okay.
Have some fun with the morning crew.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
so let that lady know that you're on the radio and you're talking to the great Brian Hammer Jackson, bitch.
Oh, my God.
But I have to get back on the clock.
All right, bye. Get back on the web.
Did she
say cock? Did she say
no, she's... Come on.
Oh.
He's trying. Goodbye.
Great Ellen Johnson,
Brian.
Everybody.
Bye.
There she goes.
Bye.
Bye, Ellen Johnson. Awesome. And like she said, she works at Walmart, and she wants to stay away from those... What did she say? Or like, we're those stupid something customers.
Yeah. Yeah. The garden center is the quietest part, though.
Is
I'm
it really?
Yeah, I always take my stuff and go check out there. Mm-hmm.
But it would be boring.
Yep.
It would be boring for 8 hours.
No.
Just in the garden. What do? You can't sit down. All you're doing
you
is looking at these.
Check people out. And in the
really?
Garden center, they also, they have where all their seasonal stuff is, too.
Hmm.
For every season. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yep. And there's
that.
Always, it's outside kind of part of it. So there's always birds flying around in the ceiling.
Oh, my God. No, and then they crap all over the place. To me, that's going to hell.
Not on me.
But still, you know those birds. Something about those birds, they just, when they get up in the air, they just like to shit on people. I think they have this small complex, like a Napoleon complex, because they're so small when they're on the ground. So when they go in the air, they just shit on people.
But it's amazingly hot in the summer.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hey, Melissa, do you remember Network? You know what I'm talking about, Network? I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore. Do you remember that?
The guy yelled it out the window.
Yeah. Now, that was done, one of the best masterpiece of filmmaking. Best.
I want to say, you think 70s.
You want to say, you're good. You are absolutely correct. 1976, you are absolutely correct.
The
bicentennial
year.
Yeah. And the reason I want to play this, because again, you know, we're going back to the AB 109, and it's Friday, we're going to jump a lot, but to this day, I want you to listen to this guy. He's mad as hell.
Yeah.
He's not going to take anymore. And he has a speech. And this was in 76.
Yeah.
This was in 76. And it's even true to today, if not more true. Here it is right here.
Yep.
Listen to him. Let me set it up since, you know, there's a lot of people don't know what Network. Okay, Network is a news show. Their ratings are going down the toilet. You got great actors. I mean, my God. Is it Faye Dunaway? I don't know. It's just great actors. Who cares?
Mm.
So they're trying to spice the ratings, but the lead anchor is losing his mind. They're watching him. He's not quite there. tired of, so during this crisis of him losing his mind, he tends to speak his mind on the air. So here's what you, I hope I explained it enough. What do you think, Melissa? Did I explain it okay?
Yeah.
And here it is, 1976, what he's mad about. Here it is.
Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or
Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the streets. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad. You've got to say,
I know it was to Louisville, Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chair, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
God damn it. Get up, get up, get up out of your chair.
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother low.
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to the window.
Where are you going? I don't want to see anybody yelling.
Go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling.
I'm mad as hell. How am I going to take this anymore?
You know, some of the things that you said since 19,
how
the
true.
Russians, I know, right?
Yep.
The
new economy created. Yep.
It's
true.
Just, it is
history
weird.
History repeats itself, you know?
It really does. It's eerie. 76. How many years is that?
Yeah.
76, 86, oh, 96.
A long time ago.
2006, 30.
I remember 76 really well. I was a kid in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I remember having my picture taken with a little bell in my hand. You remember those?
Mm.
You know, they have a little Liberty bell.
Yes, you, I can see it. You probably were a cute little girl. I could almost see it right there with your little tiny bell. Look at
I
you.
I had a red dress on. Mm-hmm.
Ah, red dress.
Yep.
Were you in elementary school?
Yeah.
That was a bold move to have a red dress in elementary school. Normally you would have the soft
it
colors.
It was the color of tomato soup. It was ugly.
You hussy. You hussy.
It was ugly.
111, you're live on the air with Little Red, Melissa, and Brian. 111, you're live on the air.
Yeah, we just had a little view of that getting mad as hell and not wanting to take anymore with that quasi infraction in Nashville, didn't we?
A bunch of little
Bolsheviks running there screaming like banshees, aided by two more legislative Bolsheviks with megaphones.
Oh, come on.
And another dummy up there, the other dummy, the woman, she didn't have the megaphone, but she was with him in every other way.
Brian, will you give this man a cold Bud Light, please?
Sorry to give you a Bud Light.
I like talking about that one, too. Yeah, that's a good thing you raised that issue.
Well,
the context is that
they cut off his microphone.
Yeah, we got Bolsheviks. Hey, we got people being encouraged to be Bolsheviks. They don't know what they're mad about. They don't know why they're mad. They'll correct in assessing as something being wrong, something being very wrong. But they don't realize in many cases it's the people they vote for that have brought it about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sarge, I'm glad you're here because we're in California. I don't know if you're familiar with AB 109. It's a California law. It's basically a catch and release, meaning prisoners are getting out of jails at an early release program. And people are – the crime is so high here that people are actually fleeing from California. It's so true. And we have this guy.
Who the fuck that could happen?
Yeah, really. Who would have thought that could possibly happen that we released early? They had this guy for 3 years, he's supposed to serve 3 years. They let him out in 10 days because of jails overcrowding. Jails overcrowding. Here it is, George Gascon, Gascon. Look it up, George Gascon. Motherfucker. This guy is the one that won't lock anybody up. He lets everybody out. He won't lock nobody up. And here it is right here. California suspect that, here we go. California suspect arrested with two guns after threatening a school. George Gascon, G-A-S-C-O-N, Gascon, he declines to charge this person. The guy had two guns. He was threatening schools. He was threatening a school, and RDA declines to charge anyone. He's a district attorney. It is bad.
Can you name me one single policy that ever since the death of St. George of fentanyl that has been put in place since that man's death? Can you name one single policy that's improved the criminal problem in this nation when they reimagine policing and everything else? Name one single policy that has contributed positively to the good of society. Just name
possibly,
it for me. I want to hear it.
Okay, the only one I could possibly name, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it, might be a cousin of what you're talking about, is that we're holding policemen now accountable for their actions.
We weren't doing it before?
No. No, it was unheard of that a policeman would lose their job and go to jail for abusive behavior. It was unheard of. It was unheard of that a policeman would be convicted of a crime.
George fentanyl died.
Well,
I just want to say something, and I'm not going to mention a name. There used to be a person that came into the studio who was a police officer who spent time in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, I get
what you're saying. It wasn't as public as it is now, but certainly police officers have always gone to jail for misconduct and criminal behavior.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're acting like it's never happened before until St. George of Fentanyl died.
St. George of Fentanyl. Where did you get that name?
Because it just seems to be appropriate to me, where he was beatified after he died. Literally, beatified.
Let that man rest in peace.
In the United States House of Representatives, run around with, kente cloth and kneeling in the House chambers. Yeah, I would say that went a little bit over the top, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. I think everything was that incident was over the top. Putting your knee on somebody's neck for a long period of time and just standing
on
it.
Video shows it was on his back.
Okay.
The video was there, you could see where his knee was. It wasn't on his back and neck. He died. Look, no doubt the arrest contributed to his death. There's no doubt of that. The stress levels were raised, but with his horrid cardiovascular system caused by his drug abuse over decades, was also a primary contributor to his death. I don't have any doubt of that either.
Okay.
The stress of the arrest, I mean, he was hysterical. Did you hear him when they were trying to get him in the car? He was out of control and hysterical. His blood pressure was going through the roof, probably. He's got weakened carotid arteries and everything else. The autopsy showed his heart was a mess, all because of the drug abuse.
But what they did to him and how they treated him and how the police treated him, and you even admitted it was contributed to his death.
Yes.
It was wrong.
But it was prompted by his resistance to arrest and the stupid-ass actions of the police officer. All of a cascading series of events is what that's known as.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you did mention fentanyl. And I'm still going to talk about Gascon, but when you mentioned fentanyl, did you realize the fentanyl-related deaths in Los Angeles County is up to 1,700%? 1,700% in Los Angeles County.
What is the illegal alien rate across the border up to? Is there a correlation, perhaps, do you think? I'm saying it's a perfect opportunity to get more of it across the border. There's a correlation that is undeniable.
Well, I can give it a caveat. Remember when Reagan came into the office and he made a deal with the cartels and they could bring their drugs into the United States as long as they don't hit the white people or get into the white neighborhoods
The Reagan administration made this arrangement with, now come on, Brian.
They did.
What are you reading? You read too much of the Sacramento Bee?
No, it's true. And you know it's true. They allowed
don't know the truth. I want you to tell me where are the minutes of this meeting? Who are the participants? What did they say in this meeting? Well, he made an arrangement with cartels to smuggle drugs into the United States. If you prove that, then they ought to dig up Reagan and impeach him and convict him. Move him off and convict him and put him in jail.
Oh, I'm sorry, because I got it confused with Oliver North making a deal with gun runners and changing weapons for prisoners.
Iran-Contra was not what you just said. Man, that was complete distortion of what actually happened.
What happened in Iran-Contra? Because they got busted. Come on.
Iran-Contra had to do with the war in Nicaragua, the financing, the Contras against the Sandinistas, and the issue about the hostages in Iran. They all got mixed up together. Didn't have anything to do with bringing drugs in the United States.
Then why did Oliver North go on trial?
He went on trial for perjury, lying before Congress.
I don't think perjury. So. I think he got busted for changing.
And they also
tried
to accuse him of misappropriating government funds for putting up a security fence around his house because he had death threats. Remember?
I don't have time to look it up, but Oliver North guilty of tricking Congress. 25 years, Oliver.
Yeah.
I wonder if that son of a bitch is still
Congress
alive.
Perjury, all that. Yeah.
I don't have to. I should really look into that.
See, this, I mean, you're taking. I know you're probably watching this series, Snowfall, and I'm watching it too.
No, I haven't seen it.
There's no substantiation for it beyond that series of articles appear in the Sacramento Bee.
Okay. Sacramento Bee. Listen to. Oh my God, I lost it. No. I lost it. I had it ready to go. Oh,
I mean,
here
but I just want to remind you of the claim you made moments ago that Reagan sat down with or had his intermediaries or through intermediaries sat down with drug smugglers and made an agreement, a formal or semi-formal agreement.
He didn't sit down with
Reagan
drug smugglers. He didn't sit down with
drugs
drug
into the United States. That's what you said.
Now,
I want you to rethink that and tell me maybe you want to just modify it a little bit or do you want to stand by it?
Well, you know what? I'm going to look it up. Here it is right here, Reagan's drug scandal. 10 reprehensible crimes of Ronald Reagan, which is the Republican's Jesus. These are 10 things, and you know, I like this show, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm driving on the road, right? It's like a road trip, and and then and then I pick up a hitchhiker, Sarge, and then Sarge goes, "Let's make a right here." Well, I'm not going there. Let's make a right. And then we make a right. And we end up here. And the right is good because it's things I didn't remember or I didn't know. So it's like, okay. And Sarge goes, "Let's pick up that woman right there who's hitchhiking with a short dress. I think her name is Melissa." Melissa gets in the car and goes, "Hey, I want some apple juice. Let's make a left." And then we're here again.
Yep.
But we're Ronald. That's how it is. It's a road trip.
It's kind of true. Sarge took the wheel. He took the wheel.
I know Sarge takes the wheel. I'm driving this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm driving
all right.
This.
All right. Well, look. All I'm saying is let's not go back to Iran. Let's deal with what the contemporary situation is now with millions of illegal aliens flooding across the border, providing perfect cover while the Border Patrol is pulled away from patrolling the border and processing illegal aliens hither and yon around the country. It is a perfect opportunity to smuggle more fentanyl into the United States, and we're acting like, well, it has nothing to do with it. It doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean,
I know we had a deal with the president of Mexico. And found this latest thing when the four black people went to Mexico for cosmetic surgery and they got shot, whatever. So the latest thing that came out of that was that the Biden administration says, okay, we cannot have this. This is all political. We cannot have this. I mean, what cartel says, well, here's your dead people and we're very, very sorry? Come on. When does the cartel says, you know, we're very, very sorry. Let's just be okay. You know what I mean? This is so political
whatever
bullshit.
Whatever else the cartel is, man, they don't want the possibility of the United States Armed Forces and Special Forces going after the Mexico.
Right.
If they can blunt that possibility, what's the harm in acting conciliatory?
Because they're criminals and kidnappers and rapists and sex traffickers.
They're still intimidating Mexicans and bribing Mexican officials. All they're doing is forestalling the possibility that significant American, they'd have to worry about significant American military attention, too. They didn't have anything to lose by acting conciliatory. Nothing.
Well,
they run Mexico.
So Biden,
all they need to do is run Mexico. And we got the idiot moron potato head in the White House letting the illegal aliens in by the millions.
The Biden administration.
Why shouldn't it be conciliatory? He's helping them. They don't want
to
fire
him. Well, see, politics has strange bedfellows because it came out that the Biden administration says, you know, you need to stop this fentanyl coming across our border. And then the president of Mexico says, you need to stop those guns coming into our country. So they're having some kind of powwow. The agreement is you stop the guns, we'll stop the fentanyl. And Sarge brought this up, and here it is right here. Because it is alarming. I mean, we're not talking about it enough. But here it is right here. This is,
wait a minute, man.
Yeah.
Did you really believe that the multi-billion, I'm talking about tens of billions of dollars that these narco-terrorists have, they're reliant on the American arms market to get their arms. They can buy arms, and they do, on the international black market arms circuit. They don't need our firearms. And not only that, they get Class 3 firearms, which is selective fire, automatic weapons, anti-tank launchers, and everything else on the internet. They don't need that. What are they going to get from our arms deals? Semi-automatic weapons? Yeah, a few of them come there, but most of the stuff they get, they're getting belt-fed 240 Bravo general-purpose machine guns. They're not getting those from gun dealers in the United States. They're getting on the international arms market.
Well, I only report the news, sir. I am not.
I know. And the news is not adequate these days because they're enabling. You got to stop relying on them, Brian. How many times I got to tell you? They are in league with the administration and all the forces of the new liberal world order.
Well,
don't you hear them bragging about preserving it all the time?
I mean, sir, do you have a gun? Why are you getting a little heated? Do you have a gun, Sarge?
Of course I do.
Hold on,
I have multiple guns. Not because I can use multiple guns at one time, because I have the people with whom I'm allied. Should the balloon go up and the world go to hell as I expect it to, we've got a plan to meet at my house on my 3 acres of land, and I'm going to issue them their firearms, and we'll be capable of our own self-defense.
Wow.
That's why I have that many. Relatives and friends. We've already got our plans together, should it be come to that. If not, we're prepared, and we don't have to worry about it. But in the meantime, we got everything ready.
I hear you. Well, I just want to go through this. The Republicans always will refer back to the Reagan Party. They like the Reagan Party. You know, the Trump Party is just getting out of hand, but they go back to the Reagan Party. They think Reagan's some kind of hero. These are 10 things that Reagan did which you guys don't talk about. Number 10, throwing mental patients onto the streets. Reagan just likes to throw them out. He goes into a mental home and throws them out in the street.
Brian, please, logically for a minute. What authority does the President of the United States and the United States federal government, what authority do they have to prevent states from treating people for mental health problems in their states? Would you mind telling me how the President of the United States has the authority to empty mental institutions in state? What authority does he seize in order to do that?
To keep the institutions going. Do a little research on that one.
So you mean that the states need the federal government's money to keep mental institutions going?
Well,
what do we have
states
for? Why do we pay them tax money?
Listen.
They got to do everything through the federal government?
Massachusetts is a small state. And they have the most mental institutions in the country. Okay?
Can I take care of its mentally ill population and needs the federal government?
Yes. We need the federal government.
Well, then you need to fire every single politician in that state because there's something wrong with them.
What?
Well,
every single one of them is not doing his duty.
Oh, come on. Every single one of them?
No, they're not. I mean,
what is it? What is it? 245 people there?
The federal government's supposed to take care of mentally ill people in the state.
Well, Reagan threw them out in the street. The Republicans don't want to.
How did he throw them out?
Okay, here's how he did it. I'll tell you how he did it. I'll tell you exactly how he did it. Reagan did a mass purge of mental health hospitals. First began when he was the governor of California. As governor, Reagan threw more than half of the state mental health patients out of the hospitals and onto the streets. He abolished the hospital's ability to institutionalize patients.
He had to comply with a Supreme Court ruling that said such people had been detained could no longer be detained under that criteria. And the criteria was a danger to themselves or others. Not
so you put them in the streets for the public?
Or other things they were routinely detained for. You couldn't keep them in there lawfully anymore.
They had people parking in local parks. They were dropping them off everywhere. Everywhere.
Again, you can't. It was illegal, according to the Supreme Court. The ACLU fought to get that case in the Supreme Court forever. They finally got it there. Supreme Court looked at the case and said, you cannot keep people involuntarily in mental institutions just for being mentally ill. They have to be there involuntarily if they are a danger to themselves or others, and they had to release thousands of people under the new Supreme Court ruling. I'll get you the name of it in just a second.
Okay, find the name.
And it wasn't convenient to blame it on Reagan and others.
Wait, but you won't let me tell you what Reagan did. After he threw the mentally ill in the streets.
See, here we go again.
It's here.
They were, Sarge. They were.
He abolished the hospital.
Then they started building group homes.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa.
Come on, Sarge.
Because you got to remember, man, I used to petition people in a mental health institution all the time where I'm acting weird on the streets. I go take them into custody. I bring them to a mental health institution. I write up my petition based upon my observations, and they will be evaluated and put on a 72-hour hold by a psychiatrist.
Yep.
Then Supreme Court ruling came along. We couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, but
because
you know
it used to be put in these institutions.
Couldn't
do it anymore. The only criteria that was left was physical danger to themselves or others.
Right. But you know what? Then they have to go before a judge and all that to be committed. You forgot that part. Okay? When somebody gets committed, they have to go before the doctor and a judge.
Yes.
Okay, and then they could commit them. Or they still can. That's how it goes.
Yeah, no, but not under the old criteria. The old criteria was simply diagnosed mental illness. If it's a diagnosed mental illness, but the person does not constitute a danger to themselves or others, then it cannot be involuntarily incarcerated.
Well,
see, you got to remember the added caveat is a danger to themselves or others for involuntary incarceration in a mental institution.
I have a question for you. This will be a little bit morbid. Was it ever creepy? Did you bring them right to the state hospital?
No, I never did that because I didn't have the authority to do that. The only way you could take
them
to state hospitals with a court order. What I would do, though, is take them into custody and bring them to a certified institution that was considered certified to evaluate such people, and they would make the evaluation there. A doctor, a licensed psychiatrist, would make the evaluation and make the determination for further action.
Yeah.
Based on my petition, which I would write up on the spot. I would write the petition up on the spot.
Yeah.
Doctor would evaluate the petition, and then the doctor would make his own examination.
Yeah. Do
but
you think that you were ever wrong, or were you right on? I
was right 100% of the time. Now, they weren't always, here's the thing, though. They weren't always a danger to themselves or others. They were just spastic and dangerous and wandering around doing crazy things and causing people alarm. They weren't really dangerous necessarily. Yes, some of them were. Most of them weren't. They were just what you consider mentally ill, the kind of people that Brian I was complaining that Reagan kicked out of the institutions, that you can't do anymore. You just can't do it. It's not legal. The Supreme Court said so.
I think we should be able to do it like these things do it.
Stating the fact, Reagan threw more than half of the state mental health patients out of the hospitals. He abolished
the
hospital's ability to institutionalize patients with severe mental illness. With nowhere else to go, these mental patients went to the street with disabilities.
Okay, look it up. Just read it.
They couldn't work, and they became homeless. As a result of the actions of Ronald Reagan and others like him, America's mental health system as a whole deteriorated so much that Congress was compelled to act.
All right. But look, Donaldson's decision said that a state cannot constitutionally confine a non-dangerous individual who is capable of surviving in freedom by themselves or with the help of willing and responsible family members or friends. That's what your Supreme Court did.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan
didn't
empty the things. He couldn't keep them there legally anymore if they didn't meet
that
criteria of dangerousness.
What Reagan did was, he says, when he first became president, Reagan undertook as president was to repeal this reform of America's mental health system and slash the federal funding for mental health care by 30%.
Yeah, because the federal government had no business being involved in it. That's why.
Yeah,
come on.
No, they didn't. There's no really no authority for it. The states are supposed to do it. Why do you guys keep electing governments that won't take care of the people?
Well, mental health people are people.
Don't they have a better handle on their mental health problem than the federal government does? They live there with these people in the states.
Yeah,
I don't foggy bottom D.C.
Come on, Sarge. Come on. Come on.
No, no, I understand the emotional appeal. What I'm trying to say is there is no – this is why everything's so inefficient. They keep expecting the federal government to run instead of putting the people who are closest to it, understand the problem best, and getting the funds from the people in the state. Maybe get the federal government to stop taxing the people in the state so much so they have the money to do it, and they'll be able to better manage the problem. Decentralization is almost always the best route when it comes to government efficiency.
Well,
you get more bang for your buck.
Well, if you're just joining us, which a lot of you are, if you're smart and wise, we're jumping all over the place. We're going to get back to AB 109, but Sarge brought up fentanyl, and I want to get to fentanyl.
You know, listen, I'm going to read this, please.
Okay.
In 1981, President Ronald Reagan had major efforts during his governorship to reduce funding and enlistment for California mental institutions, pushing a political effort through the U.S. Congress to repeal most of MHSA. The MHSA was considered landmark legislation in mental health care policy. So this started when he was governor.
Yes, it did. It started when he was in California, and it was horrible. He was horrible. Well, thank you, Melissa. This shed some light on it. Thank you, Sammy School.
Thank you.
You all know, Melissa's other name is Sammy School. There, she was a reporter, and she's on it in her past life. So Melissa has a thing: is don't look at the Welcome Act because we don't need no guns at our Sammy schools. We don't need no tragedy.
I mean, we all know that the mental health system started out in a half decent way, and then it fell to the wayside, and most of those places had turned into snake pits.
Yeah, but what do you
but
do
now,
with it? I mean, part of me is like, Sarge, I understand, Sarge, but part of me is like, what do you do? I mean, I'm talking, Cindy, my girl works at, when she's working from home now, but when she worked at around City Hall, and you would see these homeless people, they would come up and hit these women behind the heads with their arms and shit. I mean, some are violent criminals. What do you do? What do you do with the homeless? I mean, what do you do with the mentally ill?
I might agree with what Lisa said about Reagan's actions as
governor. You mean
Melissa?
I believe
that the states do have the responsibility for dealing with people with mental problems in their state. So I can understand Lisa's position on what he might have done as governor. But as president, I think his actions were appropriate.
You Republicans do that all the time.
Yeah, I understand
the
point. I
got to
say, you take an exception to Reagan's position as governor, okay? I'm with you on that. That is something that the people in the state of California should have argued about with him through their legislature, okay? I get it. But as president, I think his actions were entirely appropriate because the federal government shouldn't have any business doing this. Why don't they release the tax burden on California or any other state and say, here, this burden of the federal tax money, your state keeps allocated toward mental health. What, that would be better than the federal government running from Washington, D.C.
Number 9, Ronald Reagan supporting and creating Islamic terrorists. Number 9.
Okay,
it's like at over 13 years in length, the war in Afghanistan is the longest war that America has ever fought. Over 13 years, the United States has spent as much as $4 trillion, lost the lives of 3,500 troops, and injured another 23,000 fighting the Taliban. And we're still fighting the Taliban now, to tell you the truth. And this goes back to Reagan in the 80s. But amid all this chaos, we seem to have forgotten how Afghanistan got in such dire straits. Before Reagan, Afghanistan most closely resembled Ohio than a Stone Age war zone. In 1978, the revolution saw the Middle Eastern country turn from Islamic monarchy. Help me out, Melissa.
Are you talking about what happened in Iran? You mean to tell me with the Shah? Who was against the Shah? It wasn't Reagan.
Let me see. Blah,
Reagan
blah, blah,
opposed
blah,
the
blah,
Shah.
Blah, blah.
It was all the leftists and the Democrats who wanted to get rid of Reagan and install what's his name, the Ayatollah. Come on, man! You cannot rewrite history now, please.
With the blessing of Reagan, the militants violently outthrew the DRA government and instituted a repressive Islamic state in its place. They removed all the advances in women's rights, economic reforms, and education reforms. Some of the forces became the Taliban, which the United States has spent countless dollars and American lives fighting. Other works with Osama bin Laden and became Al-Qaeda. So Reagan worked with Osama bin Laden? Huh.
Okay. You got to remember at the time the Russians had invaded Afghanistan, kind of leaving
true.
That out there.
That is true. You're absolutely
remember
right.
That? And Osama bin Laden was not the main part of the Mujahideen that were fighting the Soviet forces. He was one of the factions that was aligned against them. So people make too much of his involvement and participation in the war. There were many other factions there, which after the Russians were kicked out of Afghanistan, they went to war against each other, and they kicked Osama bin Laden out because of his radical Al-Qaeda faction. They didn't want to have nothing to do with him either. So you got to remember that. I mean, let's keep everything in perspective here.
We will. Did you know that Ronald
and
Reagan
by the way,
was
the Shah, remember the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza?
Yes, I remember him well. In fact, I went by his
house. Okay, well,
who was
the one? What happened to the Shah when the Shah got overthrown? All the Democrats were against the Shah. Remember?
We brought him
why does everybody forget this stuff? Because
I was living in the U.S.
I remember it.
And you know what's funny? That he had this beautiful home in Beverly Hills. I saw his home, and there's a little. And people were upset because he had these beautiful statues. And I don't know if you guys remember, made the news, but this statue was like the David. They were naked statue, boobs, and everything. They're all statues, but people got so upset in Beverly Hills because he had naked statues in his yard, where all could see, but they were a work of art. Anyway, did you know that Ronald Reagan was an informant for the FBI? Did anybody know that?
Yes, he testified before Congress. I remember it quite well.
Very good, Sarge.
Communist,
wow.
Man. And he used to be a leftist. Reagan was a leftist, and he saw how they were thuggish in the Hollywood unions. They were threatening his life. He wound up carrying a revolver against the threats to his life. He didn't like communists for that reason, and I don't blame him.
But he was a informant for the entertainment industry.
Reagan was spying on them. There were a lot of them were controlled from Moscow.
Because they were accused of being Russian spies, so Reagan was spying on
them. They were. Not all of them, but some of them were actually had handlers in Moscow. We know this now from the Venona intercepts.
Well, we're getting into
the
McCarthyism here and blackballing. They even said Lucille Ball was a communist, remember? Because maybe, I don't know what's going
on
with
her. Reagan
did
call her a communist. They had a lifelong friendship.
They did call Lucille Ball a communist. They did.
He didn't call her a communist. No, he didn't.
Yes,
they had a lifelong
friendship. Sarge, look it up. It was they accused her of being a communist.
Reagan?
No, Lucille Ball.
No, I know. Okay, I was talking specifically about Reagan. Reagan had a lifelong friendship, but he didn't call her communist.
All right.
So, I mean, when I had to clear it up. Would people call Lucille Ball again? Lucille Ball is about as far from being a communist as everyone else. I'll admit there was some hysteria in Hollywood at the time. They also hit accurately some of the targets in Hollywood. There was a mix. There was a mix of hysteria and a mix of being accurate about some of the people that were accused.
Well, here's
but they
what,
choose
see,
to highlight
right,
only the hysteria and ignore the actual targets that were later turned out to be actual communist sympathizers or agents.
Well, as a result of Reagan snitching on the House and the un-American activities committee witch hunt, He did a series of artists were blacklisted and prevented from working in the industry again. Some were even imprisoned merely for the political beliefs they held. Targets of the committee range from Spartacus and the Brave One screenwriter Dalton Trumbull to On the Waterfront director Eli Kazan to Shampoo actress Lee Grant, all Academy Award winners. He destroyed their career, and they got blacklisted because Reagan was snitching on them.
Okay. Okay.
The
you can see Reagan testify for the House Un-American Committee's activity. I mean, it's not a secret. You go back and look over here, listen to what he said. He didn't even target any particular individuals or put them by name. He talked about what was going on with the communist attempts to infiltrate Hollywood, and lest you doubt it, look at them today. Please. You act like Ronald Reagan didn't have his finger on it? He did. Look at Hollywood today. They're all Marxists.
What?
Almost.
Stop it.
For all practical purposes, Hollywood is run by Marxists and neo-Marxists. Listen to what you hear the thrust of the movies and the political message there are. They all slant progressive left.
Even Shrek?
Okay. Why don't you go back to Three Mile Island and Jane Fonda's movies and all that? What do you think they did? What do you think Jane Fonda was doing when she did her Fuck the Army tour?
What, Hanoi Jane?
Hanoi Jane. Yeah. That was a lot. Look, yes, there was hysterical overreaction. And a lot of the thing was mean and mean-spirited and a lie, okay? It was like with the January 6th thing. If you look at what's going on with January 6th, while there were people that rioted, there were people that deserved prosecution, there was a lot of hysteria, too. It's the same kind of thing. Doesn't mean there wasn't some truth in both our outlooks and some falsehoods in both.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting to know this, but I'm not going to go through everything. If you want to know more, all you have to do is Google 10 reprehensible crimes of Ronald Reagan, and it'll come up, and you can see the rest for yourself.
Anything good that he did? You want to hear some of the good things that he did?
Sure, I would love to hear some good things.
How about one of the biggest he did, that he helped bring down the coal union with the help of Margaret Thatcher and Pope John Paul II? How about that? Did that make it count for anything? The evil empire?
I don't know. I'm still trying to get over how he...
Okay, let's forget that. How about
hostages?
Reviving the economy after the disastrous economic policies of Jimmy Carter? How about that?
After the Jimmy Carter was trying to run for president again, and Reagan...
Yeah,
and
I lived through the economy of Jimmy Carter, so I know.
Jimmy Carter,
the economy under Ronald Reagan was like when he got elected. So I could see the difference in oil prices and everything else.
You know,
it'll
be a shame that Jimmy Carter is going to go down.
How about tax cuts so Americans have more money in their pockets? How about a strong and strengthened military with pride? No problem with recruiting goals. How about that one?
Well, I'm just saying
that. And we can talk about the bad things you think he did. Let's talk about the good things he did. How about a sense of renewed pride in the United States and a more powerful standing on the world stage, more respect among international peers? How about that? That count for anything?
Well, sure it does. Sure it
does. Okay, well, he did good
Does that erase the bad things that he has done and hurt so many people and throwing mentally ill people on the street? Does it erase that?
Okay, again, that's something that the state should be doing. I don't know why you want to let your states off the hook.
I
understand it. You pay them all the tax money. They're sovereign the Constitution allows them to be sovereign in, and they don't do their jobs, and you want to hold some president responsible who's not responsible for it, either constitutionally or any other way.
Well, we got to move on, Mr. Sarge, but you're welcome to your opinion. The facts are there about Reagan and what he has done, and Oliver North and the Contra scandals, and how he opened the borders of drug dealers, Colombian drug dealers, to be forsaked to come into the United States.
I'm definitely going to fall foul on that one.
I understand. But here's the fentanyl thing. You brought the fentanyl up, and you got to hear this. And this is in California, and it's very disturbing. Here we go. Listen to this.
because you brought it up. I hope I can get it. No, they're doing a damn commercial. But Sarge, do you have a fentanyl problem where you live?
Wait, we're gonna blame Reagan for the fentanyl problem too?
No, we're not blaming Reagan for the fentanyl problem.
Oh, good, thanks. I just want to make sure.
But we are blaming Mexico for the fentanyl problem. Which goes, I don't know how
China
got to Mexico, but
Red China, okay. Mexico, the illegal alien problem, and of course the demand by many American citizens.
I don't
all
think
it,
many illegal aliens are selling fentanyl. I don't. I think these people are playing coyotes to get across the border.
No, there are no illegal
lives.
Aliens selling fentanyl. They're all
I
a bunch of saints.
I
they enter the country
know.
Illegally, and every last one of them is otherwise not a criminal.
See, I know what you're
okay,
going
okay, okay,
at.
Okay, okay.
I know what you're doing. They're breaking the law by
that?
Coming.
That's
they're breaking
right,
the law by
believe.
Coming over
I
our borders. So everybody's a criminal. Okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that.
No, I'm saying that every person that comes on the border other than through a port of entry has entered the country illegally. Everyone.
But that's what I just
one.
Said. Does that make
okay.
them
and
does that
make we
them
don't
better?
Believe that criminals would take advantage of that to enter the country illegally also, along with other people, the most of whom don't commit any other criminal acts. I will grant you that. But we're not going to say that because most of them are not otherwise criminals, no criminals seek advantage to hide themselves in this great tide of otherwise law-abiding people. It's just not possible. It just couldn't happen, right?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's all I'm saying. The illegal alien hide has allowed large numbers of criminals, because every country has them, Mexico certainly is not an exception, to sweep in there along with the other otherwise law-abiding people who are just looking for a better life.
Okay.
That's why we got to secure the border. Look, our country does not exist to provide a better life for illegal aliens, because it means it brings in a lot of criminals along with them. 5 million, if only 10% of them or 5% of them are criminals, what is that number out of 5 million?
Do you realize
that's
how many
50,000 criminals.
Do you realize that immigrants have really built our country?
We
built we our
again.
Country on the back of
and a lot of criminals came over with all the aliens.
Hey,
you know, like them,
you don't
like
get
them,
the good with the bad.
Irish criminals in New York and the Italian
mafia.
Criminals in New York. So, like I
yes.
say, immigration's always a mixed bag. You get a lot of good people like Enrico Fermi and Albert mm-hmm. Einstein, and you get a lot of hoods like the Genoveses. Hey, it's always a mixed bag. Let's stop pretending it's all one or the other.
You know, it's right on this part, Sergeant.
I hope you take the words out of my mouth. I hope you do.
Get Buzz
you know,
Moran and
what's
you get Genovese. Come on.
Trump loved the mafia. He loved them. He depended on them.
Oh, he did.
Because they
really
infiltrated
did.
The union so heavily.
Well, no, because he was a real estate developer, and he used a lot of shortcuts. And then he worked with the mafia to get some of the workers in
and
there
it,
to help
what,
him.
Why do you think you get anything built in New York if you don't go through the mafia? They run all the unions.
So you're excusing that,
union.
Oh, my God.
Come, Sarge, my God. You're a cop.
God,
you're an ex-cop.
Me.
You mean to tell me that, look, it's like, look, Chicago has had Democrat-run city for 93 years. And that's not like Republicans can't be corrupt, because oftentimes they are. But when you get one-party rule, you get a particular type of corruption that becomes entrenched. Chicago and New York are perfect examples of that.
Well,
and that's the problem
you know.
With one-party rule. Not because neither party is capable of corruption or not, but simply you get a style of corruption that becomes so entrenched, it becomes rooted like a tree
that's
with roots that
you know,
go to China.
That's what Trump always reminded me of, like this John Gotti sort of acting.
Oh, I think I bet you he has a picture of John Gotti in his. Yeah, he did. Well, he tried to be. He tried to be.
Yeah, he tried.
John Gotti, whatever
he's
you think of John
Don.
Gotti.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
Don, the Teflon Don.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Don't you think it's rather amazing that a man that's been investigated as much as this man has, think of all these investigations launched by the rats on him from the Department of Justice,
the rats?
The House of Representatives,
yeah, see,
the United
see,
States
dirty
Senate,
rats,
Mueller investigation, all these investigations. And what have they come up with? They can't even find anything on his taxes.
That's
well,
why
oh,
they
yeah.
on his taxes. John Gotti, too. until they finally locked him up in Maryland,
and
right?
Wait a minute. All these investigations,
exactly.
They got him on a bookkeeping crime?
No,
he put
no.
A check
it's coming down.
Wrong
there's, more, there's a lot more coming down, trust me. It's not over yet.
Oh, well,
it's only the beginning.
Because I'm getting tired of hearing the walls are closing in on Trump, they never do. I'm tired of this mantra that they repeatedly haul up. We got him now.
I don't know. I don't go for that either. I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think what's going to happen?
No, but that he's going to be go to jail and all this stuff.
Mm.
You know, I just don't think that.
Bookkeeping crime. He put a ledger. And they said he should have spent campaign funds for Stormy Daniels. He should have used campaign funds for that. Instead of putting it down as a personal legal expense, when the law says you can't use campaign funds for a personal expense because he didn't want his wife to know about it, because he didn't want the public to know about it, for whatever personal reason, he should have used campaign funds. That's the cockamamie legal reasoning of this idiot DA in Manhattan.
Well, I got a
now,
prediction.
Now, I have a question for both of you. Do you think that he will actually go to face these alleged rape charges? I know it's civil.
Well, he's doing it now. He just did it yesterday. He was in a death
yesterday. Yeah, but do you think he'll go?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry, but this woman that's making these charges, to me, is utterly incredible. Utterly incredible.
Why?
I've read many of her writings and the things she said and the inconsistencies of what she said. As far as I'm concerned, she has no credibility. I understand that there's only the preponderance of the evidence in a civil case, but I don't think she's going to meet that standard.
I don't know.
I don't.
It's very easy on a civil case. It's very easy on a civil case.
It's a preponderance
of the
evidence.
But I think you're right. Here's where I think you're right, Sarge, because eventually here's what I think is going to happen. I got two predictions. All said and done. My first prediction, all said and done with the January 6th and all this other stuff that Trump's going to be accused of and all this, when all said and done, here's my prediction. He's going to be found guilty. They're going to find him guilty, but he will not go to prison. It'll be like a probationary. But they will have that on his record. He will be found guilty. But there will be a probation kind of thing going on with him because he's not a president. And I'll tell you why. It's not just the Democrats anymore. He got enemies who are Republicans, and they're tired of his shenanigans. You know, you don't attack the judge. You don't attack – I mean, this is our country. You're an ex-president. Behave yourself, you dumb fuck. You don't attack the judge. You don't put up the picture of their little kids in school. You don't do that. To threaten the judge and call him an idiot?
He didn't do that.
He did
Somebody
do that.
Orderly on his
he
back.
Did.
He didn't.
He tweeted that.
I don't know. If
and he retweeted the picture.
He put a picture with a baseball bat hitting Alvin Bragg, too. He didn't do that either.
He tweeted it.
Trump supporters who did it. What are you supposed to
You hear that he called the judge an animal? Did you hear that he disrespected the judge? This is our democracy. This is our law. This guy, Donald Trump, I'm going to say this right now. Donald Trump hates America. He can't stand America. Everything about America to Donald Trump loves Russia, North Korea, Syria because of the authoritative figure. Every time that Donald Trump speaks about America, it's bad. It's horrible. The judicial system's horrible. The elections are horrible. The people who run it are horrible. Putin's a great man. Kim Jong-un is a very smart man. You heard that. He hates America. He hates what America is doing for him because he doesn't abide by the laws of America. That's the fact, Jack. This man is a traitor to the United States of America. He's scum.
Let's see. Somebody who hates America, who gave America almost 4% GDP growth in almost every quarter he was president, who gave us under 2% inflation, who gave us energy independence, who gave a Middle East Abraham Accords peace deals that heretofore had never been realized, who gave us more fair trade deals with China that didn't eat our lunch with regard to our own manufacturing capacity, who had a military that was reaching all of its recruitment goals and all of its immediate objectives, who had, yes, respect throughout the world stage, especially when its predictions about relying on Russia came true. For a guy who did all that for the United States and yet hates it, give me more of that hate. And let's get rid of potato head right now that's about ready to ruin the United States dollar as the reserve currency of the world, and you better believe when that happens, you're going to watch a precipitous crash in your standard of living.
I will look up precipitous, sir. But Donald Trump...
Well, I advise you to do it, because you better, because you're going to be heading for it soon. A precipitous fall on your ass
precipitous.
If our reserve currency goes belly up.
Don't you precipitous me.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell
reserve
you
reserve currency of the United States dollar goes belly up, man, our standard of living is going down the toilet.
This is the man who was praising his love letter from the biggest dictator who threatened to kill all Americans with his missile.
See, now you're
Kim
talking
Jong-un.
About a lot of jive that has to do with diplomacy, and you're ignoring the real good he did for this
nation. You don't
nation.
Hug a dictator
now,
with diplomacy who vows to
right
destroy America.
Now, in office, and these
that
evil advisors
okay,
that run
you.
Him, and you're completely oblivious
wow.
to it. You're completely oblivious to it. Stuff you can actually measure,
love with the biggest
we can
dictator.
Measure the harm that a Biden is doing to this country. We can measure it. We could measure the good that Trump did for this country.
Really?
I mean,
but
I know you guys
all,
don't
Trump,
believe in objective facts, but I do.
Trump did not run a country.
2% inflation
was,
is not
okay.
10% inflation.
4% I think Melania
growth
was running
GDP
the country.
Is not a negative GDP growth. It just isn't. These are
what
numbers
kind of,
that are inarguable
kind
because
of,
numbers
what
mean
kind,
things.
Okay, listen, Sarge. What kind of woman, the first lady, I even hate to use the word, the first whore, the first slut, who is Donald Trump's
no,
kept
don't
wife.
Say that.
Now name Pauline.
She's the first whore of America that when you got kids in cages that she has a jacket on and says, I don't care, do you? What kind of whore slut does that? You call yourself a first lady of America. She
you
knew nothing about
enclosures.
She didn't even want to leave. She did not
children.
Even want to leave the White. She did not even want to leave to go to the White House.
Wait a minute. Stop. Now you're already distorting like a typical Democrat. You mean the enclosures that were meant to house children while it is determined who they actually should belong to when they're being brought into the United States as they were being human trafficked? You mean those enclosures?
About?
Well, I
don't
have a problem with
about.
It, Brian. You do.
I don't
and
know
those
what
enclosures
you're talking
were started
about.
Under the Obama administration. Trump just kept them in place.
Obama had the hardest thing on immigrants and on the border. Look it up. He was harder than –
Yeah, he let a lot of them in. That's why he had to get rid of so many.
No, I mean, well, look it up.
Trump
he
trying
was
to keep
the worst
out in
as
the
far
first place.
As – okay, I can't argue with you.
It's a better policy to not let them into the country in the first place.
You're defending this guy.
That way you don't have to deport as many.
Oh, my God. Obama was the hard on most of the immigrants
coming
across the border.
From
he, was the,
Mexico,
he was the number one president
Mexico
that was
considered a safe harbor.
But then your answer is, well, he let some in.
Officially,
okay.
Mexico is a safe harbor to apply for asylum from. You apply for asylum from Mexico. You don't come into the United States. That way our agencies don't have to deport so many. They don't get here.
Did you know, going back to, okay, and Sarge, I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing you, and that's what we do on our show. We listen to opinions, and we listen
all
to
right,
what
so
people believe in.
So then what is the problem with that policy? Why is that a bad policy?
What policy were you
remember,
talking
that
about?
That policy of the United States government under Trump. Under 50,000 encounters at the border a month during the Trump years on average.
I'm sorry. You're right, because he built that wall. He built that wall and kept all those immigrants
month.
On the other side of the wall. And he raised money for that wall, and he kept that money in his pocket because there's no wall. And he kept saying
now,
to people that
now,
the wall is huge, the wall is big, the wall is this. And they didn't even build the wall.
Now, offer your evidence that he kept the money in his pocket.
That's one of the things, him and Giuliani. That was one of the things that came out.
Where's
the wall?
I want you. I would appreciate you give that evidence.
He raised a lot of money and funding on the wall.
So they can prosecute Donald Trump because he should be prosecuted if that's what he did.
Oh, come on. We know he's guilty. It's just the fact of the matter is we don't know what to do with him.
So give that evidence to Merrick Garland.
Okay.
Because I don't know anybody else
okay.
who has it.
All right. Okay, here's this one important fact I'm going to read. And the last one on Reagan, because the reason I put Reagan is because you Republicans, I'm not saying you, Sarge, but there's a lot of Republicans tend to think Ronald Reagan is the hero, and it's a throwback, and he used to call it the Reagan Party before they call it the Trump cult leader party, where all the cultists running around culting. But here we go right here. Ronald Reagan's legacy on race is tenuous, to say the least. Before he found himself elected in office, Reagan opposed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and the Fair Housing Act of 1968. This is what Reagan is. And although these political stances may seem morally reprehensible, holding them was not in and of itself criminal. Reagan's criminal actions with regards to race came when he supported the apartheid in South Africa. Reagan supported the apartheid in South Africa when meanwhile poor little Mandela, our hero, sitting there behind bars crying for our country.
God.
And Reagan supported the apartheid in South Africa. If that's not racist, the only thing you have to do is put a black face and say, Cap Town Lady, sing this song, do-da-do-da.
Do-da-do-da.
Okay.
Oh,
are you finished?
God.
The more you want to add there.
These are the facts, Jack.
Let's start off with the Civil Rights Act and his opposition to them. Many people at the time were opposed to the Civil Rights Act, not in all of its particulars, but in specifics that, by the way, since then have caused great mischief. Because many aspects of these things are what they had to keep fighting out in the court, and the people at the time had the foresight to see that some of these things needed to be removed from the Civil Rights Act, like every bit of legislation that always puts poison pills in it. A legislation done by politicians, we all admit, is not always an unalloyed good. There's good in them and there's bad in them. And you can oppose a bill because of certain things you think are either unconstitutional or unwise without opposing the principle which the bill is supposed to espouse. And that was the case with Ronald Reagan. Next, talking about apartheid in South Africa. At the time, we were engaged in a Cold War which might involve nuclear warfare with the Soviet Union. We've been confronted at all points with a major world hostile power that had the intent to increase its hegemony over the regions of the world that it controlled and expanded. South African ANC was run by communists and Marxists because the way we see the countries turning out now, we know they were. That's what they were. Nelson Mandela admitted himself and regretted his actions with terrorism as a member of the ANC. So Ronald Reagan wasn't opposed to getting rid of apartheid. He was opposed to the Marxists in the African National Congress. Because at the time, he saw the Cold War as a bigger problem. And if you look at what's happening in South Africa today, I can't really say he was wrong.
You know what? I'm telling you, you should be a record because you spin very well. You should run for
office. No. I'm not. Look what Nelson Mandela said about what he regretted about his involvement with the ANC. And you'll see I'm not wrong. I'm talking from the horse's mouth.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
All right, so let's not pretend everything is black and white. Binary. No. In this case, there were literally shades of gray. We look at South Africa. Look what's going on in South Africa right now, man. Look at it. It's
okay,
all run by the ANC. They are the one-party system in South Africa. And look what's happened to it since the end of apartheid. It hasn't exactly been all good. In fact, a lot of it's been worse.
Well, you know, you accused me of something earlier in the program about giving you proof about Reagan letting drugs into our community.
Yeah.
Number two. These are the top 10 things of reprehensible things that Ronald Reagan did. This is number two. Smuggling cocaine. And smuggling cocaine, and it affected our wildlife. Have you ever seen Cocaine Bear? That's a documentary. This is what happens.
It's a documentary, is it?
It's a documentary. It's a true story, Janet.
We
got buried on cocaine
thesis,
in the forest.
Okay. Continue for your thesis.
Well, actually, this is very serious, and I would like you to address it, Sarge, seriously.
Okay.
I'm going to read it. Number two, although the term Iran-Contra was initially coined to reference the scandal involving the Reagan administration, the illegal selling of weapons to Iran to fund Contra terrorists in Nicaragua, the scandal is a bit more expansive than the name would suggest. It was later discovered that they had another source of funding for the Contras, which was crack cocaine. The Reagan administration and the CIA hatched a plan to conspire with the Contras to smuggle cocaine from South America into the United States. They turned a blind eye to cocaine smuggling by the Contras and shielded the drug smugglers from investigation. Reagan's officials in the White House, including Oliver North, began to nurture the cocaine smuggling and funnel the proceeds to the Contra army in Nicaragua. Soon the Reagan administration and the CIA took a more active role in drug smuggling, while America's flight crews began smuggling arms down to Nicaragua. They were also smuggling in cocaine on their return flights. Members of the smuggling crew claimed to have protection from Oliver North. Some hangars used to dock the cocaine. Filled airplanes were owned by the CIA and the National Security Council, and some were operated by Oliver North himself. Sarge, comment on that.
Okay, I assume now you're saying that I assume, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but you're basing a lot of this on this Dark Alliance series that Gary Webb wrote.
No, it's documented, Sarge. It is documented on a serious sense. It is documented.
It's documented.
Yes, it is, sir.
Part of it, and there aren't any. I've never seen any. What are these documents that document it?
It's underclassified. It's underclassified to Reagan. I'm sure Donald Trump has it at his house.
We haven't seen it.
I think so.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know everything. But
I don't either.
I asked
I'm
you
just for
the
reading.
Documentation that we can't see it because it's classified. Okay. What am I to make of that?
See, no, but you said that when you made it sound like I was silly when I said that Ronald Reagan was involved.
I certainly did. Say that. I'm simply asking for the substantiation.
I'm giving you it now. This is according, by the way, this is according to
unnamed documents that we can't see.
I'm sure. What is this according to? I got to give you the source. It's only fair. It's a magazine called Listverse, V-E-R-S-E. They're pretty accurate. They might be left wing, but these are things that are known. But that's true. Every black person knows about what happened with him smuggling shit and making deals. And you know what, Sarge, and you're absolutely right.
Sarge, but you are
absolutely right about something. You know, it depends on, you know, when we're at 23, and I have this thing, we're at 2023, and we're judging something happened in the 1960s or the 70s. At that time, one time we were with the Taliban, and we were giving them weapons to help fight the Contras and whatever. And even I think we even made a pact with Al-Qaeda. I'm not quite
back
sure.
To the fight
if you want to
Soviets,
go politics.
We gave the Mujahideen the weapons to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan.
Right. So, you know, politics are strange depending on what decade you're in, whose administration you're dealing with, and what's going on at the time. But we were in bed with the Taliban at one time. I even think we were in bed with the Al-Qaeda at one time.
The Taliban was not even a major part of the alliance against the Soviets. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Taliban came along and took advantage of the vacuum created by the
Al-Qaeda.
Soviets leaving Afghanistan and the chaos as they tried to form a government. Taliban actually just filled in the vacuum. They didn't have that much to do with fighting the Soviets and kicking them out.
There were other
alliances that were far more crucial to defeating the Soviets than were the Taliban.
But that's what was going on. They were feeding the drug. The crack cocaine was feeding the arms deal with Costa Nostra, with the arms deals in Nicaragua. It was just, but they had a thing with Reagan, says we're not put them in the black neighborhoods, the undeveloped neighborhoods that does not go into this community. So he did have some kind of rule about that. I don't know. Sarge, here's what we're talking about. I don't know, when you're in law enforcement, when you're on duty, did we have such a thing? It's only 30 minutes, and I have to talk about it. So this is what I have up there as a title. But in California, Sarge, I'm even thinking about leaving California. California is a lawless state.
Good for you.
It's a lawless state. It's a lawless state. And,
did it?
And here's we have this fucker, and we can't do anything about it. He's a district attorney of California. You'll hear him, Gascon. He won't arrest anybody.
He got rid of George Gascon. He's still around?
No, he's still here. George is still here.
That's right. He is, damn it.
He's still an active district attorney, and he will not arrest anyone. He's letting people out of jail.
Yeah.
That motherfucker. But I promised people about the fentanyl story in California. Here you go.
Deputy District Attorney John Hintami talk about the biggest problems he is trying to tackle. And I just got to give the breaking news here and get your talk and take on this, because we've got the L.A. sheriffs and the DEA at LAX, and they gathered in 12,000 fentanyl pills, and they were all hidden. Put the picture on the screen. They were hidden in Whoppers, Skittles, and Sweetheart boxes.
What?
Clearly a sign that they're trying to move this stuff and make it appear
candy.
As if it's candy, John.
I mean, they're definitely targeting kids. They're targeting kids, and they're targeting teenagers. We need to aggressively prosecute the dealers in these cases. We need to go out, and if we can prove the case, we need to charge them with second-degree murder for their sales of fentanyl to kids and for selling to kids and in kids dying from fentanyl. We've had numerous kids here in the Valley overdose on fentanyl. We had Melanie Ramos, a 15-year-old girl who died in September. We had Cade Kitchens, a 17-year-old boy who died in October. And it's just a horrible thing that's going on here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I want to just back those up with some numbers here, because the California opioid overdose deaths, I mean, it's just stunning. 6,843 related overdose deaths in 2021. Over the past 5 years, fentanyl-related deaths spiked by more than 1,700% in Los Angeles County. And as you've noted, in Los Angeles, the DA, George Gascon, does not want to severely punish these distributors, these pushers of fentanyl, and a lot of local counties want to.
Yeah, fentanyl is not just an overdose, it's a poison. What's happening is they're poisoning our kids. We have these dealers that are killing our children and are terrorizing our community. And you need to be a DA.
Los Angeles County. And as you've noted, in Los Angeles, the DA, George Gascon, does not want to severely punish these distributors, these pushers of fentanyl. And a lot of local counties want to.
You hear that? You hear that? This guy is unbelievable. He doesn't even want to punish people who are the drug dealers with fentanyl. And he's our district attorney, motherfucker.
But, Brian,
we got
to acknowledge, I think we need to acknowledge that all of these DAs that have been funded by Act Blue, a George Soros finance organization that installed these district attorneys in these big cities across the United States, like George Gascon, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, Kim Fox in Cook County, Gardner in St. Louis, and Chesa Bodine in San Francisco, all of them have a very similar style of prosecution, and it's not an accident. That means not to prosecute the most dangerous people amongst us who cause the most chaos and harm, and it's because they are trying to fundamentally transform the criminal justice system. That is the reason for it. They're all the same. Alvin Bragg's another one. He's the guy who has a habit of downgrading felonies to misdemeanors. For a fully 48% of the cases brought as felonies before his office are downgraded from felonies to misdemeanors, except for Donald Trump, which you upgrade the misdemeanor to a felony so you can prosecute him. It's just amazing what they're doing with this country and its legal system.
It's just unbelievable. And we go to our investigative reporter, Sammy School, which is Melissa. Isn't this unbelievable about the fentanyl in California? And they have them in Whoppers and Skittles. Skittles, for
God's
sake.
It's everywhere.
And if you look at the new fentanyl pill, it looks like candy. They're yellow, the colors. They're yellow, orange, green, purple. Can you imagine?
Yeah, and they're not going to do anything about it because they were put there for the purpose of what they're doing now. They were put there because this is exactly the way they would run their prosecutorial offices. That's the reason George Soros put millions of dollars into funding their campaigns.
Oh, my God.
We better wake up.
Huh?
Somebody better wake up and stop changing their voting pattern.
I agree. I agree.
Civilization is utter dystopian, Mad Max craziness.
No, I agree. No, I certainly agree. The seriousness of it is this motherfucker George, man. George Gaston. He won't arrest anybody. He upped the felony of stealing and robbing up to $5,000. Anything less than $5,000 you steal is a citation. He's letting people in and out of this catch and release thing from jail from California. They're smashing. I told you this guy, Timothy starts with a last name B. 37 felonies. He got caught 37 times. Each time he got caught, he was supposed to, the last time he got caught, the judge says, I had it with you, 3 years in prison. He served 10 days, and they want him out of there. This is what's happening in California. They're just, it's a lawless motherfucking state. It is.
It is. It is, and it's not the only one. If we keep getting these people in office, we're going to have more of this, not less. It's just that simple. They've got
to
go. Cannot coexist in a society that's based on the rule of law with a primary goal of maintaining civil order. It is not possible with these people in office.
Hmm. Listen to this. You're right. This happened 38 minutes ago. 38 minutes ago in California. I'm giving you a flavor of California. Two Torrance. Torrance is a city. Los Angeles. Torrance is about 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away from Los Angeles. This is a suburb. Torrance is a suburb. Two Torrance officers indicted for 2018 shooting death of a black man with an air rifle. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what I was reading. But that's happened. Oh, they indicted the officers. Oh, this should be interesting, and I'd like to have your take on it. I'd like to have your take on an African-American male version, Mr. Sarge, and as a former police officer.
I'm not authentically black. Remember that.
What?
Yeah, but he did go to the trouble.
Well,
wait a minute,
if I'm not authentically black, then okay, I'll give my opinion.
What do you mean by that? What? Explain that to me.
I don't subscribe to Marxist racial identity line that I'm expected to adhere to.
Okay. All right.
That makes me inauthentically black.
Do you eat fried chicken? You like fried chicken?
Yeah. Yes, I love fried chicken.
Okay.
I like watermelon.
So do I.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I like watermelon, too.
Me, too. And
I
like
grape
Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
I do. When do we have to do that? Make
what?
Foods?
It's like saying spaghetti for Italian. I mean, come on, we associated our cultures ravioli Italians. If you guess for Italian, what is the food?
I don't. Well, it's Italian food, but.
Yeah, okay.
We
associate
it with pizza. Is pizza Italian anymore?
I'm not going to eat chitlins, I'll tell you. I'm not going to do that.
Have you ever had it? Have you ever had chitlins?
That used to be a staple in my house, and I never partook.
Did you really?
And
my mother, and my mother's
really
Louisiana,
well.
Man. She's an expert in cooking chitlins.
No, that's one thing.
My mother,
really,
if you like chitlins, my mother could make them deliciously.
Mm.
I actually kind of liked chitlins until I found out what they really were. Because she actually made, they were rather tasty when she made them. She knew how to make them well, so they were meticulously sterile. And when they were, after all, they're cooked.
It's a poop soup.
So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like you got to worry about germs or anything. I mean, they're thoroughly cooked.
But
yeah,
still.
That's true.
But
that
the
is
thing
absolutely
is, you know
true.
What they are. Once you know what they are, it's just kind of hard to reckon.
Yeah.
I had it one
that's
time. I had it twice. Melissa, you would never
like
touch it.
They can be tasty. I'm telling you, Melissa,
it
they
could.
Are.
If you add a lot of vinegar,
she could do a lot of mean Southern cooking, man. If you were able to like chitlins, you would like her chitlins.
If I didn't know what they were, then I might.
Melissa,
know what they are.
You're a foodie, Melissa.
Yep.
You should Google gourmet chitlins. Maybe there's a different recipe that make it look good. They covered up that what it really is. She puts up some great recipes, though. Melissa does put up some great recipes on Facebook. It's like it makes me hungry every time she puts up a recipe. I'm going, don't do it. I'm starving.
I know, huh?
Yeah,
that's usually
great
when I do it.
Well, you know, people like liver, and what is the liver but a filter for toxins?
True.
And I don't like liver. I don't
like
liver.
Liver tastes pretty good now. I got to give it that.
Oh, really?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Don't like
my mother used to make it with bacon and onions. Oh, God. If she cooked it and I smelled it, mm-mm. Mm-mm. No.
Kidney pie? Well, what's kidney? But another filter for toxins.
I don't like that either. Beef steak and kidney pie, they used to eat that. No way.
Okay.
Well, what about buffalo balls? Have you ate buffalo balls?
No. No.
Brian, I got something I'd really like luck you to hear before you go off the air.
Sure.
It is Candace Owens.
Uh-huh.
I just love Candace Owens. She's so charming, so goddamn cute, passionate. And I swear, I just love. I get a stiffy. And you know, I'm not transgender.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Did you just say you get a stiffy?
Let me tell you something, Brian. If I could have that woman's baby, I would. So help me God.
Oh my God.
But anyway, let me tell you something here. She was on last night talking about Dylan Mulvaney and transgenderism, and she came up with an argument that I am now going to put in my repertoire that I had never really quite considered, as brilliant as I am and as many arguments as I can muster, I had never considered before. And I said to myself, man, you go, girl, because I never quite looked at it this way, even though I'm dimly aware of everything she said. And she said it so perfectly that I just got to share it with you, man. You got to hear what this woman said about the whole Dylan Mulvaney debacle. You want to hear it? So only about a minute and 23 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
One more thing I want to say here, Tucker, because it's deeply upsetting to me. There is a post-analysis that needs to happen here on why it is that Dylan Mulvaney for 365 days was able to openly mock women, to openly take the spaces of women, to get contracts from Ulta Beauty, to take, you know, contracts from other women, all these sponsorships, and nobody cared. Until suddenly, Dylan Mulvaney traversed into a male space, and it became unacceptable. Why? Because men don't tolerate this level of lies in the way that women do, right? We respond emotionally and not rationally. We should have been the ones to put an end to Dylan Mulvaney, but we didn't because we feel bad. And shouldn't we just feel bad for men that want to be women and mock us and put on lipstick and pigtails and call themselves a girl? I think not, Tucker, but woke culture says yes.
As usual, you've taken it to a much deeper, more profound level than I had thought through. In one sentence, it's pretty amazing that the battle of sexes has been won by men with the help of feminists, isn't it?
It is absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, once again, men have to rescue women from this terrible ideology that is taking place right now, and I commend men for doing that.
Great, Candace Owens. Thank you so much for that.
That was distilling it almost perfectly, succinctly, and I swear I appreciate what she just did in adding a new argument to my repertoire. Chivalry was basically behind this. Men's unwillingness to tolerate outright lies without comment. And literally coming to the rescue of women being tyrannized by men who call themselves women. It's astounding.
Mr. Solution has brought this up.
Well, I must have missed when he said it, because I tell you, Candace Owens, she nailed it. Last night, she nailed it on the point.
Well, Mr. Solution likes transgender because it's a revenge on women. That's how he pointed it. The new world kind of woman. Can you imagine we're talking about this in 2023 that people are changing their sexes and we don't refer to somebody as a he or she anymore, their pronoun names, and they're non-binary.
Brian,
you're having this kind of discussion. Yes.
Brian, they're not changing their sexes. They're becoming a simulacrum of another sex. They
that's
cannot
true.
Do
that
it. It's a grotesquery. It cannot be done,
true.
No matter
that
what
is,
they say.
But can you imagine we're talking about this science fiction thing? I know I'm not being politically correct with the transgender, but it's just amazing. Sometimes you got to step back. You're from another planet, and you're going, trans what? And sometimes you just got to step back and going, what the hell are you talking about? What, you don't refer to yourself as a he or she? You rather have a non-binary name or a pronoun? What are we doing? I mean, you just had to, I mean, were we bored? I mean, was it the pandemic?
Here's the story. You got to keep remembering this, Brian. It's because we have become afraid to label a mental illness as such. We
I
have
agree.
Never had a
I,
problem
I,
in the past
oh,
identifying
man.
Depression, schizophrenia, paranoia, or any number of mental illnesses as such. With this thing, though, there's a political dimension to it which has to do with neo-Marxism and cultural Marxism that dare not speak its name. It is a mental illness. Now it has become a protected class. They're even trying to transform it into an actual ethnicity worthy of civil rights protection.
And your thoughts, Melissa?
You know what, Sarge? You kind of stepped into my little trap that I was hoping that you would. Now that our mental health system is so poor,
right?
We have no place for people that are mentally ill to be treated and protected.
True.
Now we've got this.
Yeah, you. Good point. Good fucking point. And then we're in an age of we have to accept everything, or so we're racist, or we're sexist, or we're, you know, even if we're thinking it's strange or it could hurt, we say, well, we're against that. Oh, well, you hate all homosexuals. No, I don't. You are a racist, or you're this. We cannot. We have to accept it, or we're scum.
Well,
I'm
certainly not against funding for mentally ill, especially when there seems to be an explosion of it. I'm actually for it. It's simply the mechanism by which we do it. I think since funding is always limited for anything, we might as well do it as efficiently as possible, and that should be done at the lowest level of government that can do it effectively.
But you can't fix mental illness. See, I don't understand this when people say we got to fund mental illness. Well, we did, and then a lot of mental illness.
Well, you can't fix diabetes either, but you can certainly manage it.
I don't know if they could. Why? How can you manage it? I know people. Let me tell you something. I know
with
people.
With medication
who are
and with counseling and treatment.
Well, here,
and love,
here,
dare I say
medication
it,
only works when you. Medication only works when you take it. I have known a lot of people who are bipolar, and they refuse to take the medication. Half the homeless person who are cuckoo don't take their medication, and they can't force
Brian,
it on.
Let's not let perfect become the enemy of the good. Most people will respond to good medical treatment, whether it's psychiatric or medical. So we'll
I
fix
don't
the
believe
one
I
we can, and
that.
The one we can't, we'll figure out what to do with them.
No.
We can't be perfect on anything.
Do you know what they? You know where they are now? They're out
what's
on
that?
The streets. They're homeless. That's where they are now.
Yeah, the ones that are unreachable, you're probably right.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to have to revisit that Supreme Court decision because most of them aren't a danger to themselves or others. They're just a huge nuisance.
Well,
but until they can be, until you can do something with these people who are just an enormous nuisance, they get to stay out there.
We have a lot of teenagers for some reason who are suffering with mental illness. And,
I wonder how that happens.
It's huge.
We've never had more kids that are medicated at any time in history as a percentage of the population than we have right
terrible.
Now.
Remember when they were giving the kids Ritalin? The kindergartners, they were getting them, giving them Ritalin?
Boys in particular, just active boys who would calm down with maturity, but no, they got to dose them with drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you wonder, you know,
big
if you
pharma.
Really learn about antidepressants and things, that they should not be given to anybody under 21 years old.
I agree, Melissa.
And you can look at
I
any
agree.
Warning label on them because it alters the brain chemistry because it's not finished forming yet.
Oh, man.
You wonder,
can you imagine what testosterone and testosterone and puberty blockers do to your hormonal levels and balances?
Exactly.
We don't have to imagine. We can look at the crazy woman who shot up that Covenant church last week. That's what happened.
You know, they have a thing called hormonal treatment. And I had to look at what hormonal treatment was, and these are for people who have cancer, whatever. So this is less of invasive treatment, quote, I'm doing air quotes, treatment. Well, what it does is that hormonal treatment hates testosterone. The main job for hormonal treatment, if you go on hormonal treatment, is to attack your testosterone and kill it. They got to kill it. And that's what they're doing. So and then they block your when a man blocks their testosterone and they kill your testosterone, the other effects take place. You may grow breasts. A man may grow breasts.
Yeah.
His voice may change. He stops being.
Depression.
Estrogen and testosterone is the difference between male and female, as far as I'm concerned. Just as basic as
it.
The X and the Y's. So when you
testosterone is a hormone of vigor, of vitality, of aggressiveness. So it's all these things mixed up with testosterone. Estrogen is the a hormone of depression and a hormone of passivity and other things. The two together are not exactly opposites because both sexes need both hormones.
Exactly.
The question is, what is the ratio supposed to be?
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to, I guess the point what I'm trying to say is with the transgender and listening to Melissa, she makes a great point, and you too, Sarge, is that this, and they call this a treatment. And I asked, what kind of treatment is that? Basically, you're stopping me from becoming a man.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like I was a Neanderthal, like I was uneducated, like I was stupid. But I said, if you're going after my testosterone and your main goal is to kill it, destroy it, what are you doing? Well, and then you're telling me I'm going to grow breasts, I'm going to stop, my facial hair will stop. It's basically steroids to turn you into a transgender, as far as I'm concerned, just bottom line.
Yeah, your voice is going to change.
My voice will change, the hair.
Feature.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have never had a baby. But when you have a baby boy.
Thank God for that.
I know. Really.
Listen. When you have a baby boy, they have almost like little lumps, little breasts. They're almost hard, and they look, and they say it's from the estrogen passing over the placenta.
Right.
They go away. But it's kind of interesting that it would do that in the womb. It goes away. But that's how powerful these things are.
Of course.
It's a natural thing, right?
Yeah.
It's really, I have another thing, another theory that I've bounced around in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That autism and transgenderism and things, I know maybe, but there are so many women that have been taking antidepressants for so long,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have babies, they carry babies, and they're being fed these pharmaceuticals, you know, from growing in the womb, is that having an effect on our children?
I don't know. It could be.
I don't see why
it
wouldn't.
Common.
Because
yeah.
the question is, does it pass the placental barrier, like you just said, with hormones? And if
with
it does,
hormones.
How could it not have an effect on the children?
Yeah. It's so common if you talk to people, you know, how many women especially are on antidepressants.
Yeah, I would think it would. I think there needs to be more study on this. Why can't we see this shooter's manifesto? Why are they still hiding it from us? Why do we see all the other white supremacist manifestos right away, almost, within a week or two?
I don't know.
We saw their manifestos. They're still hiding this woman's manifesto from us. Why? I want to know. It smells like a rat. They're trying to cover it up. They always do this when it comes to their pet causes.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, they said more information is better, except for things
like
this.
Well, certain things that they just don't. They just don't tell us.
Yeah, and you notice the way they slant it when they do decide that.
Mm-hmm.
Which plant is it coming from? It's always in one direction, it seems.
Yep. Yep. I wish that you would get on Brian's Facebook, because I've got a plethora of information that I would send you, like, whoa. But anyway, that ain't going to happen. Laverne and I are YouTube junkies, we call ourselves, and we're always looking at something. Always. Brian, he doesn't love it so much. He doesn't love that.
I mean, there's just so much material on YouTube. It makes my head swirl. There's just so much. I don't know what to consider an embarrassment of riches, do you?
I mean, you got to be able to sort things out, Brian. I mean, you got to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff.
I should, you know, the thing about it is I have this thing, and I got some kind of thing I got to do, and I'll be done. And I don't know, March, April, May, June, 3 months. And, you know, I'm doing some cosmetic stuff with, what do you call those things that you whiten your teeth and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be on YouTube. I will be live on YouTube, physically live on YouTube. There's some things that I kind of want to lose pounds and, you know, just narcissistic cosmetic bullshit, you know, because I'm going to be a person being Mr. Solution will attack me. Look at you, fat ass. Hey, hello, fat Albert. You know, I don't want to hear that.
That's his job.
I know that's
his job.
What would be more impressive were you to come on a little bit overweight, and then you could be like before, and then you say, well, now I'm going to embark on this regimen. Where in 3 weeks, I'm going to be jacked. I mean, 3 months, I'm going to be jacked. And that's what you do.
Yeah, those are good.
And you show that's even more impressive.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, think about it. But you got to be disciplined, though. You got to actually do it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I am.
That'd be even more impressive. Now, see, I'm starting out the show this way.
Right.
Take a look at me. I need to drop 20, 25, 30 pounds, okay? But don't worry about it, because I'm going to do it, and wait till you see how jacked and buff I am at the end of it, how glowing and radiant I'm going to be. And then you do that, you got an even greater hook.
You're absolutely right. I will do the weigh-in in my underwear, and you can see my pretty feet in my underwear and who I am, and you see the scale, and then that's it. Let's get to work.
See, I guy gave you another hook for the show. But you got to be serious about it, though.
I will. I don't need any criticism.
You don't want to be up there, holding a bag and not have done what you committed yourself to do.
No. I will do it. I lost 15 pounds, but I gained 10. But yeah, I gotta have some kind of hook. But I want to do something other than
losing
weight.
You got a net loss of five. Well, that's better than nothing.
I want to do the stories. So we do the stories. That's the weight is the subject. You know.
Yeah.
The monologue, the weight loss or the weight gain is the monologue, and what we still do our stories and we talk about stuff like prisons and jails in California. We talk about fentanyl, and we talk about, you know what I mean, our stories, what's going on.
Yeah.
But I will show you locations. I mean, there's this one park that is just gorgeous park, and it has the things that you work out in, and so you'll see different, you know what I mean? You're not seeing a talking head. You'll see California. You'll see different locations. I could be driving and talk to you about what's going on, you know what I'm saying? So it'll be one of those YouTube shows that I could be driving or I arrive at the store. I will be talking to you when I shop.
Yeah.
Putting things.
That's cool.
You talk to a little man on the street, or is that too risky?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. If I was in another town, I would, but this is a small. I would probably do that. I got an idea on that one.
Now, I understand you being reluctant to approach people. But why don't you just, when you do it, why don't you just go up and set up a kiosk and have a sign on saying, would you like to volunteer for a man on a street interview? That way you get people who are not going to be startled by you approaching them.
Yeah. I like to do that, and I like to do stunts. Like, I got to get to Melissa. I wonder if I can go into the store as a sample person and get the most god-awful tasting things and have people sample it.
That would be funny. That would be really funny.
I'm also a practical joker, too.
Most of these man on the street interview things, they're accompanied by a pretty capable security team when they do it.
Yeah,
well,
that's true. You
be.
Need that security team. You really do.
Yeah.
Some people.
But like
you just
said,
don't know.
If you set up a kiosk where you have a sign saying this is what it is, would you like to volunteer for a man on the street interview with Brian Jackson? Hey, you never know what you might get.
Yeah, but you get a lot of fools too. I end up getting a lot of.
Yeah, but at least it won't be the kind of people say, "What do you come up to me for?" And they, or maybe they pull out a gun. That's true.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that are going on in my head that when I go up on my YouTube channel, but I'm just not a fan. There's some stuff I don't know. Melissa, what are the kind of things that you watch on YouTube? What are
everything.
The kind of things?
Everything.
Like, give me an example.
Oh, anything from politics.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Is this an average man, or are you talking about, like a cable news people that you're listening to on politics?
Both.
Really?
Both. Yeah, some podcasts.
Yeah.
People that are independent and have a, decent-sized audience. Sure, I like to hear, all of it.
I'm definitely not typical, Brian, because I'm documentaries, political takes.
Yeah.
Automotive troubleshooting, gunsmithing, history.
I got into that.
I doubt if I'm typical of what most people look at YouTube for.
I'm not a mechanic or anything with cars. I'm awful with cars. I don't know hardly anything. But sometimes you do a YouTube search, like, how do you put on a windshield wiper blade? You know what I mean? You do the simple things. And you could get involved with these guys. I mean, these guys are just it starts from a windshield wiper to end up rebuilding an engine. I mean,
had to come up with another thing. I was having trouble with my Hummer. It wouldn't start. It runs perfectly. But sometimes I'll go out, turn the key, and it just wouldn't start. It would crank, but it wouldn't start. I couldn't figure out what the hell's wrong with it. I mean, I've rebuilt the engine of that thing, rebuilt the transmission, the transfer case. I've done all kind of mechanical work on it. I mean, I know it inside and out. So I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't start. I knew it wasn't anything wrong with any of the fuel injectors, ignition or anything, because I checked it out 90 ways of Sunday. It turns out it was a pass lock today. GM's got a thing they call a pass lock, and it's got sensors in it. Sometimes they go a little haywire, and they won't recognize your key. So in order to find out the answer how to fix it, I went on YouTube, and I saw a thing that said, if you got a hand tool, you can figure out what the problem is. And I had the trouble shot within 5 minutes, and it took me about an afternoon of work to change the sensor. And I went on YouTube and got it.
Yeah. I asked my mechanic. I asked my mechanic when I brought my car in. I said, how do you keep up on the newer cars and blah, blah, blah? He goes, YouTube. My mechanic
I had an auto repair shop once, man. Me and my army buddy, we had an auto repair shop, man. We fixed cars all the time. And we were in when they were getting the OBD-2 system. So, that's the latest diagnostic computer system. It started in about 1996. It's called OBD-2. It's the standard for the interface between the diagnostics on an automobile, a modern automobile, and the computer system you use to analyze and troubleshoot them. But even with my experience with the latest stuff, I still need to get, information that's not up to date. And YouTube is a great way to get it. I got to admit it. Great.
It is. I agree. And, we're almost at. We only got a couple of minutes. I got to do the jury thing. Melissa's here. You're here, Sarge.
Yeah.
And I got to do the jury thing. Okay, this is really what happened. Going back. By the way, AB 109 is about catch and release. As people are letting read about it, people are letting not people, but the sheriff's department and the LAPD are letting people out of jail. Not really. It's George Gagone is doing this. He's a district attorney. You even heard that he's not even keeping fentanyl drug dealers in jail because he wants to clear out the jails. It's an awful thing. there's not a minute that goes by that I'm watching TV that they don't have breaking news that some moron's breaking into a jewelry place, smashing and grabbing. The people who work there are just standing there, and these guys are in no hurry to leave, and they know they're not going to get into trouble, and they're out. They're out. I don't know what happened in there. So that's the story with the AB-109. You can check it out for yourself. This just happened recently. October 14th happened. This came in at 12:38 p.m. California time. Two Torrance officers indicted for 2018 shooting death of a black man with an air rifle. Okay, what I understand what happened here is, I'll give you the long and story short. The guy was in his car with an air rifle. This is at nighttime. I don't know what he was doing. I didn't read why he was in the car with an air rifle, but he was. Maybe he wanted to use it for protection. But the cops did not know it was an air rifle. They approached the car. They told him to keep your hand on the wheel. And this is what I'm hearing. I haven't read the article, but I'm going to give you the short version. And they saw him move his hand down to his side, and they started firing at the kid. They fired at him. They fired at this guy. Killed him. Now the officers they got indicted for 2018, the shooting death of a black man with an air rifle. That's the title. Sarge, you're on patrol. You come across this late at night. There's somebody in the car, young person, 22, 23. He has a rifle. You know it's a rifle, but you're telling it might be a carry state. It might be a carry state. So you're still like, okay, it's a carry state. Then he moves his hand to the side. You don't see what he's doing. What do you do, Sarge, as a police officer? What do you do?
Now, I'm not clear that you made this clear enough, so I'm going to ask you to clarify it. Prior to him moving his hand, had they identified something in the car that could be considered a firearm? Because certainly
Sarge,
an air rifle can be considered a lethal firearm, because some of them have been used to kill people if they're higher-powered ones.
Now, the guy, Sarge, I'm going to give you a little bit more information. The guy's name
Especially
is DeAndre
Frank.
Mitchell. That's his name, Mitchell. Remember that name, Mitchell. And it says Mitchell was found in a supermarket parking lot. He was sitting inside a black Honda Civic that had been reported stolen, holding an air rifle. You're hearing this on the radio. Got a stolen car, suspect in car. In a stolen car with an air rifle. With a rifle, you don't know if it's an air rifle.
Right.
The evidence examined in the investigation shows that Mitchell was driving a stolen car. He was about to be detained for investigation of a possible grand theft auto, according to a charge evaluated worksheet prepared by prosecutors. As the responding officers approached, they observed what they reasonably perceived to be a firearm in Mitchell's lap.
Oh, okay.
So
I got it. Now I got it. Okay.
Now, they said that he made movement.
He's sitting there in a stolen automobile that I've already identified when I ran the plates. He's come back a stolen automobile. So now I've got a possibility of a felon in a vehicle with a firearm.
Right.
Not saying he is, possibility of it. Even without the stolen car, a guy's got a firearm I've identified as a firearm, whether it is or not, on his lap.
Right.
Right? At this point, I'm going to tell him not to move. Don't move. Or I'm going to tell him to put his hands on the ceiling or on the dashboard. One of the other, I'm giving a definite command to do something. If he does anything other than that, and that movement causes me to reasonably fear for my life or the life of my partner, I'm going to light him up.
Right.
That simple.
Even if I was a citizen, I would do the same thing. Throw a rock at him or something. If you move, you know what I'm trying to say? Why are you in a car that's stolen? Of course, I don't know it's stolen, but if it's stolen and he's sitting there with his rifle on his lap, he's not about to do good things. His intention right there, just having a rifle on your lap, tells me something.
He might be panicked himself. He might have just reached for the gun because he's confused and he's in a panic being stopped by the police. That's still not going to prevent me from having a reasonable apprehension that he might intend to use that rifle to harm me, so I'm going to light him up. And I'm sorry if it's a mistake and that's not what he meant, but how the hell can I know that?
Right.
It takes a split second to pull a trigger.
Right. And this goes.
I want to be on the wrong side of it.
Right. And this goes to Melissa. Part two goes to Melissa. Melissa, are you there, kiddo? Because I know you're multitask. Well, she's probably listening. Here we go. So now
I'm here.
So now Black Lives Matter activist gets into this.
Yep.
So now the Black Lives Matter activists, they're holding a protest at Torrance City Hall meetings for the following Mitchell's death. The group also engaged in various protests aimed at Lacey, whom BLM protests criticized as being unwilling to prosecute law enforcement officers. Lacey is the chief of police, and they're also getting upset because he didn't prosecute officers on this particular situation. Melissa,
yep.
Here it goes. Gascon, I didn't even see it. Gascon vowed during his campaign to take a closer look at the law enforcement shootings. Vowed to take a look at the law enforcement shootings. Can you believe this son of a bitch? He's everywhere. Now, I say to you, Melissa, do you think Black Lives Matter should stay the fuck out of this? Why are you protesting when you don't have enough information? They're still investigating this.
Yep.
Thank you, Melissa. I agree 100% with you. Get the fuck out of then you want to protest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually turning into a terrorist group. You know what I mean? They're getting very close.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting very close.
Yeah,
Brian,
in this case, I'm looking right now at the conclusion of the district attorney's office, Jackie Lacey, System Integrity Division, October 9th, 2019. And the conclusion of a report, and I'm looking at the report, we find that officers Anthony Chavez and Matthew Concannon acted lawfully in self-defense when they used deadly force against Christopher DeAndre Mitchell. We are closing our file and will take no further action in this matter.
Good.
So what changed?
Wow.
What changed?
Because they did some investigation and found out that
I'm sorry, I
was probably
my phone, but you were breaking up, so I didn't hear your response.
I guess the change is that the officers it was a good shoot. It was a good shoot. Oh, am I breaking up? Am I breaking up, Melissa?
Not now. Now you're clear. Would you say it again? Well, what changed since the conclusion of that report?
I don't know. This was...
in October 9th, 2019... The district attorney said it was a justifiable shooting, and they cleared the officers.
October 9th, this report came in.
October 9th, 2019.
No, this is April 14th at 12:38 this afternoon. Here's the end. The evidence examined in this investigation shows that Mitchell was driving a stolen car. He was about to be detained for investigation. Let me get to the bottom of it. As the responding officer approached, they observed what they reasonably perceived to be a firearm in Mitchell's lap. Mitchell made movements towards the weapon, although the weapon was later determined to be an air rifle. The officers believed that the weapon was a firearm and was reasonably under the circumstances. Let me see what happened. According to the DA review, a man flagged down Torrance police officers, blah, 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 saying that the Civic had been stolen. A short time later, surveillance video captured the vehicle being pulled into a Ralph's parking lot. That's your Kroger. Chavez and Cannon pulled into the parking lot and used their patrol car to block the Honda in place. The officer got out of their vehicle, approached the Honda, and saw Mitchell in the driver's seat. The report said the officers yelled police and told Mitchell to put his hands on the steering wheel, which after moments of hesitation, he did. Concana opened the door, the reporter said. Mitchell, according to the report, dropped his hands into his lap, and Concana saw what he thought was a firearm, and he drew his gun and told Mitchell not to move. Mitchell, who police said later was believed to be a gang member, returned his hands to the wheel, apologizing twice, and then dropped his hands again. Cannon then reports it gripped his gun with both hands, but according to the body camera footage later released, it's not clear whether Mitchell dropped his hands the second time because Cannon blocked the view of his body-worn camera as he gripped the gun. Never good when a cop blocks the camera. Mitchell is not visible. Is not visible on the body-worn footage during the 3 seconds preceding the fire shot, the first shot. and they waited for backup. There was no further threat. Officers attempted life-saving measures on Mitchell, but he died from his injuries. Both men scheduled to be arraigned Monday at the Clara Shortage Fultz Criminal Justice Center in downtown Los Angeles. So they're going to be arraigned. So they
okay,
didn't
well,
close
it
the
appeared
case.
To me that there was initial finding of a justifiable homicide, and now, for whatever reason, somebody else somewhere in the county has decided to reopen the case and indict, get them indicted under homicide. That's
right,
what it looks like to
right.
me. The case
yeah.
happened on in 2019. That's when it occurred.
Yeah. Well, I was reading it from, this is just a couple of hours ago today, they're going to be arraigned. And then when it got political. Black Lives Matter got involved in that, and they had to take a second look. It is, we know it's, as Charles, you know as well as I do, when you get into the political facts about the pressures going on with the police chief and the mayor and all that stuff, things start to change quickly.
Oh, I have no doubt now this is all political. These officers had a justifiable
right.
shooting, and I
right.
just want to hang a couple of cops because these bastard political politicians and these gutless, no-good, stank-ass, woke-ass, diversity-hire police chiefs don't have any integrity whatsoever. None.
I agree. I agree.
I'm getting, after reading the report, looking at the report, the way they initially cleared it and everything else, and now it's been reopened, it's all Karen Bass being political. She don't like the cops. I'm not surprised.
And I think Stone had something to do with it, too, that motherfucker.
Yeah,
I
no want to
thank the beautiful, the lovely Sarge and Melissa, too. No, I want to thank Melissa for coming into the studio with
yeah,
her beautiful voice. Thank you,
oh,
sweetheart.
Thanks.
And
yeah.
thank you, Sarge, for coming into
oh,
the
you're
studio
welcome, sir.
What
are you
and enlightening
back
us.
Here? It's so hard to catch your ass. When are you going
to
be back?
It is hard to catch me. I'm doing
yeah,
good things.
I know. When are you
going to
be back?
You know what
just lie to me and tell me when you're going to be back on.
Monday. I'm setting up interviews, Sarge. I'm setting up interviews for the show. I do great interviews. I know you never heard it, but I do great interviews. Don't I, Melissa? I do great interviews.
All
right. Well,
so
I'll reserve judgment. I wouldn't see why you wouldn't be a good interviewer. I think
you
probably
thank
you, have
sir.
At least the ability to be. I don't know if you are. But the main thing for you to come on the show and be on the air on Monday. Now, what time? About the same time as it is today?
No, today was late. Today was late. I'm going to try to get back on regular schedule at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 a.m. your time. I'm going to try to get back to our regular schedule hour.
Okay.
Laverne left
Sarge,
me.
Whatever you say, whatever
Sarge,
you say,
what
Brian.
What time zone are you? What time zone are you?
What's that, Melissa?
What time zone is Sarge?
Sarge,
yes,
you're three. He's
seaboard.
In.
He's seaboard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in. Are you in Georgia, Sarge? Are you in Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's three. Now, do we start?
No, that's not
yeah,
Georgia.
Georgia. Sarge, was your – we got 1 minute left. Sarge, your wife, was she Hispanic or African-American?
She was as African – she was as wonderfully Negroid as you can be. African-American doesn't
beautiful
mean
nothing. Beautiful ebony queen.
Elon Musk is African-American.
Yeah, he is. But your
wife
is
South American?
That's
from South Africa?
Huh?
Well, there's rumors that
he's
black.
Is he from South Africa?
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but it's like saying a European American.
Oh, okay.
You know
well,
what I mean?
Sorry,
yeah, specifically, he's a South African American. But, you know, people call people from Europe, and you know, European, and there's all kind of countries in Europe.
That's
they say,
true.
Oh, he's a European American.
We got 20 seconds. I want to thank Ellen for coming into the studio, who
was
my former
yeah,
executive producer. Thank you, Ellen, for coming in the studio. She may be coming in Monday. And I got four other people who are just listening. Thank you, audience, for indulging us. Sarge make some great points here. You guys be safe. I will be on to Monday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's West Coast time, 10 a.m. East Coast time. And 1 a.m. in North Korea. They love me in North Korea. Thank you, Kim. Kim Jong-un. All
oh
right,
my
guys.
God.
Have a great weekend,
okay.
everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Okay, Melissa, Brian, take care now.
Thank you. You too, Sarge. You take care of yourself. And I'm going to hope to hear from you Monday. I really do.
We'll call.